is a presentation of DRG Media Group Sports.
This is the voice of the Pier Trappers, River 92.7. Welcome to Trappers Warm-Up, a preview of tonight's Pier Trappers game. Now, let's go to the ballpark for Trappers Warm-Up.
Welcome into Trappers Warm-Up. Ryan Breeden here in the Hyde Stadium press box, and we are jumping the gun once again today. John Hunt and the crowd ready to start this game about 10 minutes early. So let's go straight to my interview I had with Coach Jamie Habiger ahead of Game 2. And I'm now joined pregame for Game 2 of our Best of 5 series with Trappers coach Jamie Habiger. Coach, 6-2 last night. The guys had played probably one of their more complete games of the season. It was just kind of those first couple of innings that really made the difference. What were your takeaways from last night after having a night to kind of sleep on it?
Yeah, it was just a couple timely hits we missed out on, and I wish we would have, you know, just held them to one or two hits in the first inning, and it would have been a different ball game. You know, I think we played a complete game after they got up on us 5-0, which was great. I love the guys stepping up instead of at the beginning of the season kind of falling down. So we're growing as a team, and hopefully we keep growing and go into this next game and get the win.
So how will it be different tonight? Do you think it's an attitude thing? You think it's just like focusing to play a complete game, win those first two innings as well as the last seven, or what do you think it is?
Yeah, I think shutting them down early first time around the lineup, and then getting on them quick second time around. So, you know, these guys are fired up and ready to go. I don't have to say much to get them going, so they're ready to go.
You've got Casey Kashev on the mound. What are your quick two keys to Casey being successful tonight?
Getting ahead early is Casey's. He's got to get on top early, these guys, and then control. Just being in control, because he's got the stamina, he's got the grit, he wants to be out there. It's just a matter of control and getting ahead.
You can see how badly all of your guys, including yourself and me, want to beat the Saberdogs at least once, and we even see that kind of league-wide with Cy Probst, the catcher for the Roosters, now joining us for these last couple of games. What have you seen from Cy since him joining the team today?
Yeah, he's fired up. You know, he's come from the University of Maine. He's a heck of a ball player. Hopefully we get him in the game. I'm pretty loyal to my catchers behind the dish,
yeah.
But Cy's ready to go, and he's got the same goal as we do, and it's win the game. So
what went into making tonight's lineup?
Whew. Not much. You know what? I just put guys in there that can get the job done as well as the guys that did the job last night. So it makes our bench strong. I got added a couple lefties to the mix tonight, including Mix and McCreary, just because they have Dewey on the mound, and I just want to get that mismatch at the plate.
So what does Trenton Dewey for the Saberdogs present to your lineup?
You know what? He's a good pitcher, good location. He's a ground ball guy, so we got to get ahead of him in the box, get the hitters' counts, and lift the ball a little bit. Line drives.
He's got that little sway.
He does. He's got a little swagger. Drive. You know what? We time that swag out, and it might be his weakness, but we'll see. We'll see. He's a good pitcher on the mound.
All right, let's go to our would-you-rather question then here. Would you rather always be hungry or always be tired?
I'd always be hungry. I like my sleep too much to always be tired. I'm always on the go, so if I was tired, it would kind of ruin my attitude with everything, but I'd rather be hungry.
I think that's another one of those lose-lose questions where you're suffering either way.
Yeah.
All right, Coach, sounds good. Good luck tonight. Let's take game two.
Let's do it. Thanks, Ryan. Go Trap.
So we have worked our way all the way through the anthem, all the way through the pregame festivities, and we are a few moments away from first pitch here in game two of our best of five Expedition League Championship Series. Last night in game one, the Trappers fell to the Saberdogs 6-2. It was really the early innings that came back to bite Lewis Manning and the Trappers. The Saberdogs scored 3 runs in the first and 2 runs in the second. But from the third inning on, the Trappers actually outscored the Saberdogs 2-1. So Ryan Breeden here, and I have an early guest. We've got Jackson back up here after last night. Jackson, welcome back in, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Game two, baby. Let's get it going.
Casey Kasheva is the starter for the Trappers, looking to even this series at 1-1. If you go down 2-0, you present a very tough hole to climb yourself out of. Luis Palayo will lead things off. First pitch in there for a called strike, and we are underway. So an interesting thing about the home plate umpire that I'm immediately noticing and noticed a lot of the guys talking about before the game, This guy likes to call a ball or a strike before the pitch is even in the catcher's glove. That one misses high, so the count 1-1.
Well, I'm glad the Dogs finally figured out how to match their uniforms up today.
Yes, much better. That baby blue jersey with the white pants. It's a very good look today after what was a bit of a shaky look yesterday with the red jersey and the blue pants. That was something.
That was a tough look yesterday, but they look better today.
So the batting gloveless Luis Pelayo leading this off, and that one misses high, so the count 2-1. Pelayo was really the trapper killer last night. He went 3-for-4 and was responsible for 4 of the 6 runs that scored for the Saberdogs, including 2 home runs and scoring that first run of the game in the first, and that one misses high, so that is ball 4, actually. So I was mistaken. It was not a 2-1 count. It was 3-1. So there is a leadoff walk to Luis Pelayo, and that's something that is a bit of a concern for Casey Kosheva, is his control. And that's something that we talked about before the game with Coach Jamie Haviger, said it was one of the keys to the game. Casey, in this game, he's walked 36 batters coming into this one, and he has hit 24 batters, which is the most on the team by 12.
That's a big number. But we'll see if he gets dialed in today, because when he's dialed in, he's one of the best.
He is great at pitching into a jam and then getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he can do that early on here. Hunter Delanoy up there now for the first time in this game. First pitch fouled off straight back, so the count 0-1. Delanoy still comes into this game with the highest batting average and on-base percentage in Expedition League history. It's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
He's not the guy that you would expect to be the one leading it. You've got Luis Pelayo on first base, who's been magnificent. You have Jake Barlow, who is a very good hitter as well. You've got Chris Monroe, who leads in pretty much every other category. But it's Hunter Delanoy, their number 2 hitter, that's getting on base at over 50% clip.
And that's why he's probably batting number 2. I mean, you got to get him on base, and those guys will drive him in.
So the count 0-1. A lot of speed over there on first. And the pitch. There's a called strike, too. So again, you see that called strike from the home plate umpire just before the ball reaches the glove of Carson Trumbull.
He's quick, man. He is quick to call it.
He knows what he likes.
Yes, he is.
We not like afraid that. To say it.
He is not indecisive.
Trent Dewey will be the starter for the Saberdogs, and he awaits getting some last-minute work in the pen before trotting out for the bottom of the first. 0-2, Pelayo on the move. It misses outside the throw down, and it is not in time. And when they say he's out, so it looks like Pelayo sprinted over to second, and then he stumbled, overran the bag, and could not keep that left foot on second base. Dragged it a little too far. Great awareness from shortstop Jackson Mix to keep that tag applied and get him out at second. So it wasn't a strong throw, but it was a fantastic heads-up play from Jackson Mix.
Yes, definitely a great play to keep that on, keep it on him while he's stepping off. I mean, that's a play where you should be sliding. But you know what?
He had the confidence that he could get up there standing up. 1-2 pitch, that one skips away, so the count now 2-2. Nobody on base after Luis Pelayo thrown out at second. Casey Kosheva, that bright blue glove, somewhat matches the jerseys of the Saberdogs.
Have we ever talked about how Casey's got the coolest glove in the league?
Yes, we have. It's a talking point for sure. The 2-2, and that one has popped up to the left side. That will drift out of play. We've also talked about his invention that he came up with, the fascia stick.
I have heard about that. I have actually seen it.
So you have seen it. I was given one.
So you get all nice and relaxed before the game?
It can be great. It's not just for baseball players either. You can use it if you're someone who works at a computer all day with your hands typing, if you're a gamer even.
A surgeon,
anything, you know.
Yeah. If you use your hands.
Get the old Doctor Strange treatment. 2-2, and that one's popped up straight back, so the count remains 2-2.
If you use your hands during your job, call Mr. Kosheva. He'll hook you up.
Exactly right. My producer, Heather Williams, right out of the gate saying, I need one of those. I'll have to get Heather one from Casey before this season wraps up.
Has he put a patent on it yet?
He has a website, I know that, and he has a business card, so I would guess so.
Okay.
He 3D prints them as well.
Well, there you go.
2-2. That one is ripped into right center field. That might hang up there just enough for Maddox Mueller, and it will. So he makes the catch in straightaway right center field for out number 2. And there's that range again from the speedy center fielder for the Trappers. And that brings up Chris Monroe. So here he is, the league leader in almost every single major category. Home run leader. RBI leader, hits leader, runs leader, total bases, and doubles. He homers in almost every 8 at-bats. And the first pitch misses in the dirt. We'll see a heavy dose of off-speed pitch to Chris Monroe. Dead red hitter, one of those guys who, when he gets a fastball, especially one in on the inner part of the plate, he can make you pay. 1-0 pitch, and that one is cranked into right field. McCreary is there, takes a few steps back, and makes the overhanded catch for out number three. So a 1-2-3 inning for Trapper starting pitcher Casey Kasheva. We will go to the bottom of the first inning. Nothing our score here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
The Crossing Inn Pier is a must-stop for ice-cold beverages in a relaxed atmosphere. They have 16 beers on tap. Many of them are from breweries all around South Dakota. And with a full liquor selection, they can mix up the drink you are looking for. Their staff is ready to serve you and your friends. Like them on Facebook to get information about drink specials and event information. Stop on down to The Crossing, located at 115 East Pleasant Drive, right next to the corner station.
Ah, why am I so sore? There are everyday moments.
Oh, hey, hold the ladder! Hold the ladder!
Oh. Yeah, that hurt.
And there are epic moments.
Fly! Fly! Fly!
College!
Fly!
Class of 1995!
When a moment creates a health need, visit the experts at Avera Orthopedics. We're moving health forward so you can tell the story. Learn more at avera.org/orthopedics.
It wasn't easy for me last night.
You know this one, man.
Isn't this Barracuda?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was wrong last night, and Heather, as well as the big boss at DRG, who were listening on in the studio, were both very disappointed in me.
You got Diane disappointed in you?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
She was like, come on, how do you not know Barracuda? And I was like, listen, yeah. I'm a 20-year-old kid. And she was like, that is no excuse.
I think this one's the heart one. Nope.
So I think I'm 1-0 now on our Name That Tune. Nothing our score here through one half inning of play in game two of our best of five Expedition League Championship Series. The Sabredogs lead it 1-0 in the series overall. The first team to 3 victories will clinch the title. The Sabredogs looking for back-to-back championships. The Trappers looking for their first. They'll have a big hill to climb, though. Trent Duyer on the mound for the Sabredogs has a little bit of a sway to his windup. You'll see it here in a few moments. It's a bit funky, but he is a fantastic pitcher. He has faced the Trappers a handful of times, and he struck out 12 Trappers last time he was out there. Ryan Breeden up here in the Hyde Stadium press box. Got Jackson with me as well. Jackson, I am so bad with names that, like, I forget your last name sometimes.
Unbelievable.
I know.
This is, you know, just go.
This is the voice of the Trappers, forgetting last names of people who are GMs of the year in 2019.
No, just go to the website. You can find my name somewhere. I can't believe you don't know who I am.
I know who you are. Come on. You're not a stranger up here. Jackson Mix will lead things off. Trent Duyer has faced 25 innings, and he has faced the Trappers twice. His last one, 8 innings pitched, 5 hits, 12 Ks, and 2 earned runs. He'll face Jackson Mix to lead things off. And the first pitch, and that is ripped to the right side on the line, and it's hooking foul. You think Jackson Mix was ready to swing first pitch there?
Yeah, it looked like he was sitting ready to rock and roll, and just a little early on it. But that was a good piece right there. That's something that we were hoping to see more of last night from the Trappers, but
they were just missing that one big hit in the game.
And it just seemed like they had good swings. They were just missing the ball just a little bit.
The 0-1 pitch to Jackson Mix. That one's hit on the ground to second, fielded by Jake Barlow on the move, and the throw is in time for out number one. Fun fact, I didn't know this about Jake Barlow, and he's not really a guy you'd expect this to be. He has a very, very thick Southern accent.
Oh, okay.
Extremely thick Southern accent. I heard him speak for the first time. Today he was talking with Trevor Seagraves out in center field where each team was warming up, throwing up, tossing and, like, warming up. and just here comes like this, the thickest southern accent that you'll ever hear. And I was like, I didn't expect that. But then I look at where he's from, and he's from Louisiana. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
I was going to say, he's a Delta State guy.
Yep.
We had two guys on this team in 2018, Anthony Fidanza and Cole Johnson, and they were both
Hunter
from...
Hunter Brown, first pitch swinging at a changeup, but comes up empty, so the count 0-1.
They were both from Baton Rouge, and they had very southern accents.
Kind of like that Cajun, like it was a little bit deeper, or is that...
It was a little bit deeper, but it wasn't quite Cajun.
Okay. The 0-1 pitch, swing and a miss for strike two. So there have been four pitches thrown in this game by Trent Duyer, and all four of them have ushered swings from the Trappers. 0-2 the count, one out, bottom of the first. Nothing, our score. Hunter Brown drove in the first run of the game for the Trappers in last night's loss. The 0-2 misses high. Trappers wearing the gold jerseys today. They wore the blue ones last night. What do you think of these gold jerseys for the Trappers? Where do they rank amongst your favorites?
Amongst my favorites, I would probably put them in the scheme of Trapper jerseys.
1-2 pitch popped up straight back out of play, so the count will remain 1-2.
Not counting specialties, they're probably my number three. I go the original navy pier jerseys, the original whites, and then these ones.
I would agree with that. I like, what was it? The one that you gave me today was a dark blue one that said Pier on the front.
Yes, and those are my all-time favorite.
That one is hit high into the middle of the infield. Who will it be under? It is Jake Barlow at second, who has 1 foot on the grass and 1 foot on the dirt and makes the catch for out number two. A little bit of early work in the field for Jake Barlow. He's had a ground ball come his way and then just had that fly ball.
He was a busy guy yesterday, too.
He was. Noah McCreary striding in there now. Back in the lineup, he has been off a little bit because he's been dealing with some soreness in his right hand for a majority of the last 2 weeks.
I'm glad he's back in the lineup, though. He's a big bat. That's somebody that we want in the lineup.
First pitch swinging on the ground to first. Fields it on a big hop, and Chris Monroe will touch the bag himself for out number three. 1-2-3 go the Trappers in the bottom of the first. We'll take a quick pause and head to the second inning. 0-0 our score here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Experience the Outpost Lodge, overlooking the Cow Creek Bay on Lake Oahe, just 17 miles north of here on Highway 1804. Come and enjoy fine dining in the unique atmosphere of the lodge at the Lakefront Steakhouse. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Specializing in steaks and barbecue ribs, serving locally raised Cowan Ranch beef. For your next meal, head to the Outpost Lodge, 17 miles north of here on Highway 1804.
Long summer days means lots of time to get work done. Is your mower ready? At Darren Boyle Sales, I have new 6, 7, 8, 10, and 12-foot Bush Hog mowers on hand. Plus, I have a new Bush Hog 9-foot disc mower, a Bush Hog 12-wheel rake, and a Bush Hog 8-foot mounted blade on hand priced to sell. If you're on the market for farm equipment of any kind, give me a call at 222-0317. Like the Darren Boyle Sales Facebook page or shop online anytime at DarrenBoyleSales.com.
Welcome back into Hyde Stadium here, game two of our Expedition League Championship Series. We are tied at zero through one inning of play. That Name That Tune was The Way You Move by Outkast. Heard that one last night, and that's one that I definitely know for a fact. I'm striving to go undefeated in the Name That Tune department tonight. I was, I believe, 15-1 or 15-2 last night. Let's see if I can have myself a perfect game. Ben Neubert will stride into the righty batter's box to lead off this second inning. Casey Kasheva had a leadoff walk of Luis Palayo in the top of the first, but then he was gunned down at second. He had the base safely, but then overran it and drifted off the bag, and Jackson Mix applied the tag, and then we had a couple of balls in play after that. They were cleanly fielded, and then the Trappers in the bottom of the first went down in order, and that has gotten us to where we are at now. I can give you the remainder of the Trappers, or the Saberdogs lineup here for this game two. After Ben Neubert, it will be Jake Barlow Seth Delgado, Bradley Harmon, Eddie Martinez, and Eric Martinez. The Martinez are not related, however. First pitch to Ben Neubert. Hit on the ground softly to second base. Fielded by Connor Bendek in the throw to first in time for out number one. So an easy first pitch. Got him kind of half swinging on that one. Definitely did not put his all into it. Looks like a little bit of hesitation. And so it was just an easy routine ground ball like the ones that you see when you're taking fielding practice off the fungo. So one away and Jake Barlow striding in now. Batting over 300. Has six home runs on the season. That's second best on the team. That one skips in the dirt and bounces away. So the count 1-0. Those six home runs also second best in the league. Of course, behind Chris Monroe, who has 14. 1-0 pitch missed up and in up near the dome. So the count 2-0. You know, I was looking through the splits as well for each of these teams against their respective opponents. And it just kind of goes to show you the dominance of that Saberdogs offense as the 2-0 pitch is taken low and outside. Now we've got John Hunt joining us here in the top of the second inning, a little bit early.
Should have asked permission.
Hey, no, you're it's an open door every time. Anytime the seat's empty, you can set your way in here. A 3-0 pitch, and that one has popped up on the infield. Who will it be? Will it be Hunter Brown? Yes, it will. Camping over from third base, a couple of feet away from the pitcher's mound, and makes the catch for out number two.
And our guys are starting off pretty good against the top of this powerful Saberdog lineup.
They sure are.
You know, the thing about Casey, and I don't know if you've already had this discussion, it's kind of like watching Bull Durham and Nuke LaLoosh on the mound. With great stuff, heat, but just a little bit wild. And
yeah,
the hope tonight is just wild enough
yeah
to keep the Saberdogs balance, off balance without
exactly
hitting
right
anybody.
First pitch off speed taken for strike one. Seth Delgado, the catcher, in there here with two away in the top of the second. Nothing, our score. John, I just now realized your glasses that you're wearing today. They remind me,
they
give me some Dr. Octopus vibes.
Okay.
From the original trilogies. That one is sliced out of play to the right side, so the count 0-2.
I'm going for the cross between Ozzy Osbourne and John Lennon.
All right.
With the circular glasses.
Just straight up circles. They have a little bit of a overhang
to
them as well. The steampunk on the side.
It gives
a bit of like a goggles type of look to it.
A little bit, yeah. Old school.
Casey Kasheva working out of the windup. The 0-2 pitch off speed hit on the ground to short. Jackson Nix ranges near the second base bag, botches it, and it will roll away. So that is an error on the shortstop. Jackson Mix looked like a routine play, just kind of rushed himself into that exchange from the glove to the hand, and that allowed it to kick out and skip away. Go to your home, ball.
Yeah,
the
other thing there is Casey made a move like he was going to go for the ball, and then he remembered, let it go to the shortstop. And so he did, and I think maybe that threw Jackson off just for that split second. As he was lining up, maybe he thought that Casey was going to try to scoop that up and make the throw himself to first, because it rolled right past Casey Kasheva.
And so now we have got Bradley Harmon from Georgia, goes to South Georgia College.
Well, you were going to say he was going to South Harmon Institute of Technology.
First pitch, and that one is in there for a called strike one. Harmon has played in three games with the Saberdogs. He is 3-for-11. He has a double and a home run to his credit. Runner on first, two away, 0-1 pitch. That one leaks outside, so the count now 1-1. What did you think overall of the crowd and the fans last night in game one?
And by the way, they're still rolling in tonight. I think some people are still confused with the 6:35 start, but the crowd was amazing last night. We had over 700 in the house last night.
1-1 pitch, got him swinging and missing at the changeup, way out in front, so the count 1-2.
And that's one of the reasons why these games are here. Because we bring the crowds here in Pierre.
Yes, we do.
We have the highest attendance in the league, and it's a great place to play a ball game. It's a beautiful ballpark.
1-2, runner on the move, misses outside, and Trumpold will hold that one behind the plate. So that is an easy stolen bag for Seth Delgado.
Too big of a jump. Casey does, when runners are on, he has a slower move to the plate, and that's advantage runner.
So there's a runner in scoring position now with two away, 2-2 the count, top of the second. if that run were to score, it would be an unearned run off that Jackson Mix error at shortstop. 2-2 pitch misses outside for ball three.
Casey's mixing up his pitches pretty well tonight. And again, crowd's still coming in, just kind of rolling in the ballpark. I also want to take a minute to say that the programs done by our assistant general manager, Jordan Luttmer, are primo. They look really good, yes. And they just arrived.
The payoff pitch. There's a called strike three. Punches him out to end the inning. So Harmon goes down looking, and he is just frozen in the box. He didn't like it. He's even exchanging some words with the home plate umpire.
He's still having a talk. That's right.
Nothing you can do about that one. There's no reviews, especially on strikes. It's a called strike three, and that's the way it will stand. We are through an inning and a half, still tied up at zero. Let's go to the bottom of the second here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
First Dakota is giving away new Ford F-150s to celebrate 150 years as a South Dakota bank. We owe it to the countless customers who have trusted us with their banking since 1872. And we want to say thanks by giving back. Click the banner to nominate someone you know to win a new Ford pickup. Or go to firstdakota.com/150. First Dakota National Bank. Member FDIC.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm from Griggs Motors. I have an automotive key addiction. I go to the junkyard, I take keys out, I take them home, I pick them, I disassemble them, and when I get good at that, I hang upside down, and I take them apart and do it as fast as I can. So before you go to a dealer, I can save you a lot of money from a tow, and I can do things with automotive keys that dealers can't even dream about. I can do broken keys, I can do key programming, key fobs, anything to do with automotive keys that they tell you that you can't do, I can do. Come check me out at GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com.
I got this one.
See, I don't got this one. I know the guitar riff.
I actually
can
play this guitar riff.
I was taught
it's
it as
well. Day Tripper by
okay.
The Beatles.
Hey, I'm using it. It counts. It's a celeb. It's a phone a friend for my name that tune.
Friend.
So I'm still
50-50.
I'm going to count it. It counts. Ryan Breeden here. Bottom of the second inning. Nothing. Our score. I have the Trappers GM, John Hunt, here to my right.
I can play like 10 to 15 riffs, and that is one of them.
So maybe when this season is over, even though it ended sooner than we were hoping, maybe you can have some more time to
work on my
guitar skills.
Absolutely. I have a lot of work to do, but, you know, I was lucky to have a guitar teacher back in Frederick, Maryland, who, you know, took this old guy and, you know, about a year ago and started working with me. And, you know, a lot of teachers, they want you to just, okay, you got to learn your scales. You got to learn this. She took me right away and let me learn songs.
Good.
And that kept me motivated.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because I'm too old to be learning scales and
I don't care about all that.
I just want to be able to play like 10 or 15 songs.
Yeah, exactly right. Anthony Barraza will stride in here to lead things off in the bottom of the second to finish off the starting lineup for the Trappers. After Anthony Barraza will be Tynan Shahidi, Maddox Mueller, Tyler Traphagen, Carson Trumpold, and Connor Bendek.
And not to say young guitar players shouldn't learn all that stuff. You should, but I'm too old.
Yeah, I feel like I'm too old also, and I'm only 20 years old. The first pitch, and that one misses, so the count is 1-0. Trent Duhier on the mound. He got through the first inning fairly quickly. Barraza last night had a base hit to his credit. The 1-0 pitch,
boom,
that one
boom.
Is rocketed into straightaway center field, and Eddie Martinez is there in routine center to make the catch. It had some jump off the bat, but just kind of died out there in straightaway center field. The thing that we have seen early on in this game from the Trappers has been the aggressiveness at the plate. Trent Duhier has thrown just 10 pitches to record 4 outs, and that's because the first 4 pitches that he threw in this game were all swung at in some capacity.
Yeah, normally your Trappers are more patient at the plate.
I like a couple of pitches,
but being aggressive.
Tynan Shahidi, first pitch, misses below the knees, so the count 1-0.
Being aggressive against this guy, after seeing the pitcher that the Saberdogs had out there yesterday, which, by the way, we did score an earned run against him finally.
Yes. Shahidi calls time. Duhier just kind of fakes his throwing motion to the plate. Tynan Shahidi was not in the lineup last night. He actually pitched in that final game against the Roosters last weekend, the 1-0 pitch, and that one is swung on and missed, so the count 1-1. One away, bottom of the second, nothing, our score.
They told me we got puppies in the ballpark again.
Do we? Okay. Deere giving that little swaying motion, the shoulders, the hips, and now right into the windup, the 1-1. There's a called strike two.
And that was right down Broadway. Nothing that Shahidi could do about that.
As I mentioned, Shahidi was on the mound in that 10-2 loss against the Roosters last week as the pitch misses high up above the helmets, the count 2-2.
And the key to this game is playing out right now, not to give up anything in the first couple of innings.
Yep,
and then hang on board.
Exactly right.
Just hang on till the end of the game and then make something happen at the end.
And the 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. So Shahidi goes down swinging, chasing a high fastball, could not catch up to it. So that is strikeout number one for Trent Duyer. And there are now two away in the bottom of the second.
I wanted them to get a taste of the ballpark and hear the announcer, Big Daddy Dave, announcing Mueller to the plate there. So I think that did come through the
It did. We've got the crowd mics.
Okay.
They have been on point since that first series that we had of the season where the Roosters were here. It took a few games to figure them out, but once we got them, it's got a good balance now. First pitch, Maddox Mueller. There's a called strike on a fastball.
And I won't be able to stay the normal other half inning because I just did get word that Pause is here. We were talking about the dogs being here, so Pause is the animal group.
All right, so we'll get you for this half
inning. That brings
inning
the Diamond Dogs.
A one-pitch swing and a miss, strike two. Maddox Mueller, you know, he has not had the highest of fortunes against the Saberdogs. Mueller this season leads the team in strikeouts with 33, but 18 of them have come against this Saberdogs team in 11 games, and he's down on the count 0-2. And the pitch, that one bounces in the dirt.
That was a waste pitch, no question. You throw that down and away when you have a two-strike count. Smart by any pitcher. I mean, no matter what level, except if you're Greg Maddux, who just wants to finish in 80 pitches every game.
Exactly right. So Maddox Mueller down in the count, 1-2, two outs, bottom of the second, nothing to score. Duyer sways into his motion and the pitch, and there's a called strike three. Fastball pretty much right down Broadway, right down the pipe. About belt height, but Maddox Mueller, I don't know, he might have been sitting off speed there, was not expecting the fastball. So he goes down on strikes for the 19th time in 28 at-bats against the Saberdogs. And so we will go to the third inning, still scoreless here in game two of our best of five championship series. John Hunt, are you headed back downstairs?
I am, and thanks for the opportunity to come up here. And thanks again. I want to say thanks to all the fans all season long who have supported this team. No matter what happens over the next 2 days, we love you, and we appreciate you coming out to the ballpark in masses as you have done all year long. Thank you guys very much.
Go have fun with the fans, John. We appreciate you as always. We'll take a quick break and come back for the third inning, tied up at zero here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
When you're ready to wash your car, head to Classic Car Wash on Wells and Pier. Use any of their four wash bays with card processing for your convenience. And features like spot-free rinse and the best vacs in town. Needing to wash your boat? Use the easy access outside bay. Keep your car looking sharp with Classic Car Wash on Wells Avenue in Pier.
Now you can book flights from Pier Regional Airport through United.com and American Airlines. If traveling to Denver, schedule your flight at DenverAirConnection.com. Plus, the morning flight is now at 8:20, allowing you to connect to the majority of continued flights. Avoid the crowds, enjoy free parking, and no driving when you fly from Pier Regional Airport. One-way rates as low as $59, 50-passenger jets, and a one-hour direct flight to Denver. Skip the drive. Fly from Pier Regional Airport.
Kind of perfect timing for us to play TGIF by Katy Perry with it being Friday night right now, about 7 o'clock, 6:59 to be exact. Top of the third here, and we are tied up at zero. Casey Kasheva back out there for his third inning of work, and he will face Eddie Martinez to lead things off. First pitch of the inning, and there is an off-speed pitch taken for strike one. Kasheva, we've talked about the command problems he's had early on in games. Those have gone by the wayside the first two innings. We'll see if that can continue. That one has popped up foul, and it will drift out of play straight back. So the count now 0-2. Martinez, this is his 15th game with the Saberdogs. Has a .360 batting average, a couple of RBI to his credit, and 14 runs. Scores over one run per game. 0-2 pitch, and that one has popped up into straightaway left field. Tyler Trapphagen sprints in and makes the catch for out number one. That one hit a mile high.
Now batting
from 6'5" Eddie Martinez, and now that will bring up the left-handed hitting shortstop, Eric Martinez. This is the first time I have seen Martinez play this season. This is his third game overall with the team. He played in two games against the Red River Pilots back in late June. In those games, he was 0-for-6 with a walk and a run scored. First pitch misses up above the zone, so the count 1-0. And Martinez currently at University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. Before that, though, he was at Texas Tech. Did not register any playing time there, and that one is roped into right field. That will get down for a base hit. So there's a one-out single from Eric Martinez, and he is aboard now here with one away in the top of the third. That flips us back over to the top of the lineup for Luis Pelayo. That was the first hit of the game for either side. It's about two innings in, about two and a third. So now a runner aboard. Luis Pelayo reached on an error in his – actually, no, he walked in his first at-bat. First pitch misses outside. So Pelayo reached on a walk to lead off the game and was thrown out at second. Pelayo, however, has been a trapper killer this season, batting .525 versus the Trappers. All four of his home runs, including two last night, have come against Pierre as well. There's a fastball right down the middle taken for strike one. So the count is 1-1. Driven by the Office of Highway Safety, River 92.7 KGFX FM Pier. Doesn't matter how far. Just belt up. 1-1 pitch. And that one is sliced out of play to the left side. And that will settle somewhere near the pond, just offset from the Capitol building here in the capital of South Dakota. So the count 1-2. Connor Bendek at second is slightly shifted to cover up that gap as that one is picked over to first, but Martinez slides back in safely. Pelayo is one of the more balanced hitters that we have seen this season from anybody in this league. Has the ability to pull it, pulled both of his home runs yesterday as that one thrown back over to first once again, but nothing doing. He also has the ability to just slap the ball to the left side of the field and choke up on the bat like he's doing right now in this two-strike count. The 1-2 pitch, runner on the move, and that one is slapped in the air into shallow center or left field. It will be Tyler Trapphagen sprints in and makes the catch for out number two. He fires over to first, but it's not in time as Martinez tried to steal second but had to sprint back to that first base bag after that one was popped up.
Now
so two away now here, top of the third, Hunter Delanoy striding in here for the second time in this one. 0-for-1, the first time that he was up there. So he will stride into that left-handed batter's box with two away, top of inning number three. I'm curious to see if any of the guys in that Trapper's dugout, we're able to get our Snapchat spectacle glasses working. I was downstairs up until about 5 minutes before the pregame show, as that one is picked over to first again, but not in time. We found our Snapchat spectacle glasses. They're these glasses you put on. They have a camera on the side, and you just press a button, and it basically is as if you're looking through the eyes of the person wearing them. So we thought it would be a great idea to try and maybe get some content rolling with those. First pitch to Delanoy goes with a changeup, and it skips away from Trumpold and allows for Martinez to basically walk his way to second. So a runner in the scoring position now, two away. Last night in the top of the first inning, the Saberdogs scored three runs with two outs, and that gave them the lead that they needed. We'll see if they can have some more clutch two-out hitting in the top of the third. Hunter Delanoy. Casey Kasheva working from the stretch. Quickly checks the runner on second. And I will address the plate. The 1-0 pitch, that one misses once again. Goes with another changeup. Does not spot that one, though. Delanoy, 22 RBI on the season. That potential 23rd is lurking there, 180 feet away from that home plate. 1-1 pitch, and that one is popped up in foul ground, but probably playable for Hunter Brown, and he will camp under it and make the catch. Four out number three. So once again, Casey Kasheva pitches a scoreless frame. He has thrown three of those to start out this game, too. We'll see if the Trappers' offense can try and maybe get a early run and take a lead here against the Saber Dogs. We'll take a quick break. Nothing, our score. Bottom of the third we go here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Tokyo Japanese Cuisine prepares authentic Japanese fare, including hibachi and delicious sushi, conveniently located in the Northridge Plaza. Tokyo is a great choice for eat-in or take-out in the Pier area. Tokyo Japanese Cuisine is known for its variety in taste and high-quality fresh ingredients. They're open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 9 on Sundays. For carry-out orders, call Tokyo Japanese Cuisine at 605-494-3388.
The Corner Station in Pier can help you get ready for all of your activities and trips all summer long. Fuel up your car, grab snacks, drinks, and coffee, and get on the road so you can make the most of the beautiful summer months. Save 10 cents off per gallon when you pay in-store with cash or a check. They're open every day at 7 a.m. Stop into the Corner Station located at 103 East Pleasant Drive on the S-Curve in Pier.
So we've got the Killers leading us back in here on our Name That Tune. Somebody told me nothing is the score. After 2.5 innings of play, head to the bottom of the third. Tyler Traphagen will lead things off, followed by Carson Trumpold and Connor Bendek. Let's have our third guest come on right now. Let's go for it. Ty Barrett. He is the one of the interns for the Saber Dogs.
I was not expecting this at all.
No.
I thought it was going to be like the fourth or sixth inning.
No, I put you on the spot right now, bottom of the third.
Hey,
welcome.
I'll take it.
Welcome.
I got to let my dad know I'm on the air.
Without a doubt, tell him to tune in. Tyler Traphagen will lead it off. So far, it has been a pitcher's duel.
It's been a really good game so far. So far, I mean, Dewey's looking good. I don't know. Who do you all
Kasheva.
Kasheva,
he's got that funky
really
last
good.
Name. The first time that I saw that last name with that spelling, I about had a stroke. But, hey, it's easy to pronounce. It's a lot harder to read it in the way that it's spelled. First pitch of the inning, and that one is sliced to the left side, drifting out of play. We'll see if it gets a car on the move. It almost does. That was close.
My car.
Oh, boy. You better watch out.
Which one's
your car?
So I have the white Jeep all the way down there. It's kind of closer.
Oh, I see it.
It's closer to the bus. So
I see it.
That's not good territory, though.
It's in a perfect view of if it were to get sniped,
well,
you'd be able to see it perfectly.
You might not be able to see it from here, but the right mirror actually got hit by a foul ball at Corbett.
Oh, boy. 0-1 swung on and missed for strike two.
And now I'm missing a mirror on my right side, so that's awesome.
Oh, yes. Hey, it's a lot better than that person who got their sunroof taken out at your guys' place while we were there.
No insurance, sadly.
The 0-2 pitch. That one is popped up foul out of play again to the left side onto Capitol Drive. I think it's Drive. Is it Drive? Street?
I don't know.
Avenue?
You live here. I don't.
Avenue? Okay. Capitol Avenue. I feel like it should be Drive. I feel like that just sounds right.
Rolls off the tongue better.
I guess that's why I didn't name the streets. I don't know. The count 0-2. Dewey swaying into his windup and the pitch, and that one is just nubbed off the hands and foul to the right side. So this is your first time being anywhere other than Minot during this season. What are your thoughts, your initial thoughts of Pierce, South Dakota?
So honestly, being up here in the press box, you get a lot better view of the actual field, and seeing the hills in the background is beautiful. I love the natural surface too. I mean, I appreciate as a ballpark ops guy not having to do field work without having turf.
And the pitch that one misses to the count one and two.
Natural surface is always going to be top tier in my opinion.
It just feels more, I don't know, true to the game.
Yes, I completely agree. It feels like
could add that extra element of you know, you got to read it off the bounces, you got to see that lip where you got to have those.
You actually get a bad hop.
Exactly. The 1-2 pitch. That one is just nubbed foul and again slices over Capitol Avenue.
There we go.
Have you noticed all the statues placed around here in Pier? So, they've all the governors, I think, are
earlier
in
today,
statues.
Before the game, me and Mitch went up to the actual Capitol. We went in and walked around. We were going to go inside, but we didn't want to get like the screening or whatever.
We just
went in and saw it for a second. But we actually went over to, I think it's, is it Governor Lake or Capitol Lake that's over there?
That would be, like that. I think it's Capitol Lake.
Yeah. So we would, walked over there, saw the monuments, took a couple of pictures. It was really cool because my grandfather was actually in the Navy, U.S. Marshal. So got to send him a couple of pictures, and he liked
1-2 pitch off speed, and that one is again fouled off out of play to the left side. So if you're keeping track, that is four foul balls in this at-bat from Tyler Traphagen, who is batting 500 against the SaberDogs this season. Of course, it's only in four at-bats, and they were all four last night when he went 2-4.
Got to do what you got to do. I mean, that's a lot better than a lot of other teams have been able to say against us so far.
100%. SaberDogs have been dominant in pretty much every way this season. 1-2. That one is chopped on the ground to the right side. That will drift foul.
This is a great at-bat by Traphagen.
Traphagen battling, digging in this at-bat. This will be pitch number 8 of the at-bat. See what happens, Ty. You come up here, and the game immediately slows down.
I know. I should go back down there. I need to start taking some pictures or something while I'm up here.
A reminder, it's Ty Barrett to my right, an intern for the SaberDogs, runs the social media. 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Blew a fastball right by him. So now one away here in the bottom of the third.
Don't worry. I won't share while I'm on the mic. I'll say that for a little bit later.
Hey, yeah, you'll be able to go down there and the dugout.
Exactly. But yeah, no, it's beautiful up here. It's the weather's great compared to Arkansas because right now it's probably like 95 degrees, but with the humidity, it feels like 105, 110. So I'll take this.
That's another thing as well. For people who don't know, Ty goes to school at the University of Arkansas.
Yes.
So we had a little bit of a rivalry going there in the NCAA regionals when Oklahoma State.
Who won that series, by the way?
I'm not going to say.
It wasn't Oklahoma State.
You can say it if you want to, but I'm not going to. Carson Trumpled up there now for the first time, the Trapper's catcher. First pitch goes off speed, and it's taken at the knees for a called strike one. Trenton Duhier, he's got that little swaying motion with the shoulders, the hips, gets him involved. It's kind of funky.
It's the Dewey shimmy.
And what is it called when on the days when he's on the mound?
Oh, it's Dewey Day.
Dewey Day.
Oh, yeah. He's been a pleasure to cover. Doing the social media and all that for the SaberDogs, I've really gotten to talk to a lot.
That one is nubbed to the right side, and Monroe lays out but cannot make the play, so it leaks into shallow right field for a base hit. Carson Trumpold is aboard. The Trappers are in the hit column.
Great piece of hitting right there by Trumpold.
I thought that Monroe might be able to make that play, but looked like just had a bit of a delayed reaction and could not lay out for that one enough. And so a runner aboard here for the number 9 hitter, Connor Bendek, playing second base here tonight. Has the bright red batting gloves.
I think he got those from his team, probably.
He goes to Spring Hill. He's teammates with Nick Blessing, who is also here. They're purple.
Okay.
And Bendek squares to bunt, but pulls it back, and it's called a strike anyway.
So probably just have like a blue arm sleeve with a red, so it makes purple eventually.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
Hey, mix the colors. You know, why not? So 0-1 the count. One out, bottom of the third. Nothing our score. Game 2 of our championship series. The SaberDogs won last night 6-2. A 1 pitch up near the hands and taken.
Really cool thing about the lineup today is on the right side, or on the left side of the infield, we got two new guys. Martinez has played for us a little bit. I think he got his first hit as a SaberDog last inning. And Bradley Harmon is another really good guy who has a lot of potential. It's been a lot of fun to hang out with.
Squares to bunt, drops that one down. It's a good one, too. Duhier lays out for it, and on the ground, on his backside, makes the throw to first.
That was a great play by Duhier.
So a heck of a save there from Trent Duhier, ranging to his left, laying out and making the throw from his butt for out number 2. It nearly was a perfectly placed infield bunt single.
If anybody ever says pitchers aren't athletes, I want them to see that play right there.
He does his PFPs.
Yes, he does.
That was one of those, like, MLB The Show bunts where someone comes up with Kenny Lofton to lead off the game and they just drag it down and like roll it right past the pitcher to the second baseman. It looks like one of those, but
it's almost like a cheat code.
Luckily, Trent Dilger's fielding attribute must be 99.
Yeah, oh, exactly. There was a play earlier this year at Corbett where there was a bunt like that, but he comes up the first base line, grabs the ball, does the jump throw, and gets the guy out at first. It was something to see.
Jackson Mix in there for the second time. Back to the top of the lineup. Takes the first pitch below the knees for ball one. So you guys went, Nate, where? At Long Branch today?
Yes, we went to Long Branch today. It was really, really good. I'm not exactly sure what we got, but I think it was like brisket with a bunch of different stuff in it. It was really good.
One of our sponsors. We're thinking about going to lunch tomorrow.
I am down to go to lunch tomorrow.
We got to figure out where to go, so we're open to suggestions. It's the backdoor off-speed pitch.
I would love a Minot local place. That would be awesome.
Or a Pier local place. Hey.
I'm just
stuck we'll get some recommendations.
I'm stuck in North Dakota.
People letting us know where we should go eat tomorrow. Could be Branding Iron for some breakfast type food. I don't know. Doesn't really matter to me.
Ooh, I could go for a brunch.
1-1 the count, and the pitch from Trent Dewier. There's a called strike two, a fastball. Paints the inside edge. So we
it
got
is
1-2.
Really nice to see that there's a good crowd here for both teams. I mean, for us, because it's been a little slow. It was a little slow up in Minot this year, but it's really, I'm glad we got to get everybody in front of some fans for a great series like this.
1-2 pitch. That one's just chopped foul, so staying alive. Yeah, we spent a lot of time in Minot at Corbett Field.
Yes.
We played, that five-game series there, and then we were also on the road for two more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was seven games in total in Minot.
We played everybody at home except for the Roosters. So whenever we had the Raging Roosters, we would played only away games against them.
That's crazy.
We were hoping to get some home games with them.
1-2 pitch, and that one is hit on the ground to the right side. Foul. So the count remains 1-2. Two outs, bottom of the third. Nothing, our score. Carson Trumpled had the first hit of the contest for the Trappers through the right side of the infield, and he is now standing on second.
Yeah, whenever y'all came to our place, I can't say anything but great things about your team. I mean, everybody was so polite, held conversations, thoughtful guys. I mean, they asked please, yes, no, thank you, yes, sir, no, sir. It was awesome.
A lot of our guys are from the South, so they have those manners. 1-2 misses.
Love
up
to see
way
it.
Above the zone, so the count 2-2. So what is the main difference for you coming from Arkansas to the great Midwest?
The humidity. That's the biggest thing. Like, it's super humid down in Arkansas right now, like I was saying earlier. But right here, I mean, we actually get a breeze.
2-2 pitch misses up and outside for ball three. You got a full count now.
I'm not sweating as much as I would be
in
Arkansas.
It helps when you're in the press box,
too. Oh, this AC feels incredible compared down to that dugout.
And it's not that cool up here either.
Yeah.
If you look at the thermostat, it's 79. But 79 is a far cry from what, like 90 right now?
It's close to that, especially on the field with the sun being down on us right on that dugout.
Do your looks in.
You're lucky. Y'all have the shade.
Yes, I know. Hey, I love it. We pretty much are always in the shade in this press box. The payoff pitch and paints the door with the back door slider. Knocked on that back door and it opened up for Trent Dewier. Gets Jackson Mix looking for out number three. So we are through three innings, and we are still scoreless. Let's head to the top of the fourth inning. Nothing to score here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Long summer days means lots of time to get work done. Is your mower ready? At Darren Boyle Sales, I have new 6, 7, 8, 10, and 12-foot Bush Hog mowers on hand. Plus, I have a new Bush Hog 9-foot disc mower, a Bush Hog 12-wheel rake, and a Bush Hog 8-foot mounted blade on hand, priced to sell. If you're in the market for farm equipment of any kind, give me a call at 222-0317. Like the Darren Boyle Sales Facebook page or shop online anytime at DarrenBoyleSales.com.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm from Griggs Motors. I have an automotive key addiction. I go to the junkyard, I take keys out, I take them home, I pick them, I disassemble them, and when I get good at that, I hang upside down, and I take them apart and do it as fast as I can. So before you go to a dealer, I can save you a lot of money from a tow, and I can do things with automotive keys that dealers can't even dream about. I can do broken keys, I can do key programming, key fobs, anything to do with automotive keys that they tell you you can't do, I can do. Come check me out at GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com.
Welcome back into Hyde Stadium. We got some M&M bringing us back in a tie game. Nothing our score. Top of the fourth inning we go. Casey Kosheva on the mound. He is dealing so far. Trent Duyer is dealing as well, respectively, for the Saberdogs. Have a pitching duel. Ryan Breeden here, joined now by Drew Fiddler, another intern for the Saberdogs. We had Ty Barrett that last half inning. He'll come back here shortly. He's hanging out back there in the back part of the press box, just watching and observing. Drew, how was the drive here for you?
The first 4.5 hours went great, and as I was about to turn on to Capitol Avenue, I got pulled over.
Oh, great. That's great.
Dad, if you're listening, I'm just kidding.
Just kidding, but not really kidding.
He let me off with a warning.
Hey, that's what matters, then. It's fine. It's like it didn't happen.
Exactly.
You're here. That's what matters.
I'm here, and I didn't have to pay money for it.
The insurance doesn't go up either, so
exactly.
I mean, that's another big bonus. Chris Monroe will lead things off here in the top of the fourth inning. Monroe has been tearing it up against the Trappers this season. About half of his home runs against the Trappers. First pitch, off speed, and that one is cranked to the left side, and it will hook foul out of play. Might have had the home run distance, would have been close, but could not straighten it out.
When a ball goes foul like that, we call that unleaded power instead of diesel power.
Oh, unleaded power. Hey, I like it. And Chris Monroe has a lot of both types of power.
Yes, he does.
Do you have a moment that sticks out to you this season, just in your time in Minot, as that one misses for ball one, so the count 1-1 now?
I think it was the first home run derby we had at home when it went into...
That was against the Roosters, right? Or was it the Pilots?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, no, it had to be the... What was it?
It was the Pilots. It was right when it...
And that one misses, so the count 2-1. That's right, because the first derby you guys got into was against the Roosters in Bancroft. Because that was the day that we had our derby here against the Pilots. Because it's been really weird how that's worked out. As that one hits off the forearm of Chris Monroe, angrily chucks his bat towards the dugout. Looks to be okay. That one looks like it caught a bit of his wrist. Not a rare occurrence to see Casey Kosheva hit a batter. That is his 25th hit batter of the season. The next highest on the team is 12. He's one of those guys. He's got great stuff, but sometimes gets a little bit wild, especially to right-handed hitters. Misses it arm side, and it just sails right in like that one did.
About half of those have hit our guy, Seth Delgado.
Yeah, I know. Seth Delgado probably has the league record for most hit by pitch. First pitch to Newber. There's a called strike one. Monroe is on first after the hit batter, the hit by pitch in that forearm. So Ben Neubert, designated hitter, what he has been for a majority of this season. 0-1 pitch, goes another off speed. That one bounces on the plate, so the count 1-1. So what is your overall impression of Hyde Stadium and just the way that it looks, the way that it plays?
It's a pretty field. A lot like what Ty was saying earlier, there's going to be a lot of things that our guys aren't used to, always playing on turf.
1-1 pitch. This is low and outside, so the count 2-1.
It's a nice stadium you guys got here.
It's my favorite one to play at. I might be a little bit biased, though. Got the hills in the background.
Yeah, that's pretty. Being from Colorado, I enjoy natural beauty at a ballpark.
2-1 pitch, miss, is up and in for ball three. So do you snowboard a lot then?
I used to.
Okay.
There was one hill specifically at the University of Northern Colorado when I was 7.
We have a quick mound visit from Carson Trumpel talking with Casey Kosheva, who's gone a little bit wild here to start out the top of the fourth. I love snowboarding. When I lived in Wisconsin for pretty much most of my childhood, I feel like I was pretty good at it. I haven't done it very much since I got to... really high school, and so it's been like 7 years since I really like religiously went snowboarding. When I went last time this spring break, I tried to do some things that I did when I was younger and when I was really good, as that one has fouled off, and I looked like a fool and ate a lot of snow in the process.
That'll get you some fresh pow pow down there.
It was definitely not fresh, because it was a very mild winter in Wisconsin, so a lot of the snow was artificial.
Gotcha.
That synthetic snow. Off speed misses upstairs. So there is ball four. So the first two batters of the inning reach for the Saberdogs. First and second, nobody out. Top of the fourth, Jake Barlow striding in. Nothing to score. If this keeps up, we might just have to kick you right off here. You're bad luck for us trappers.
I think I should stay.
I don't know. I could just cut your mic at any time. I'm almighty. I've got that mute button. That one misses for ball one. So Kasheva hit Chris Monroe to start out this inning and then just walked Ben Neubert. Kasheva looks in. And the 1-0 pitch goes off speed, squares to bunt, but cannot make contact, and so it just is a called strike one instead.
I don't think I've ever seen Jake Barlow square around the bunt.
He's one of those guys. I think he's one of the more underrated players on this Saberdogs roster. Yeah. He's an all-around guy, leads the team in stolen bases, has the second most home runs.
Mm-hmm. The second most home runs, you'd think he wouldn't bunt.
Exactly. Well, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Squares to bunt again, gets that one down, but hooks it foul. So the count 0-1 and 2. I would assume that he will not square to bunt.
Two strikes.
With two strikes, that would be interesting. Seth Delgado is on deck. Bradley Harmon and Eddie Martinez to follow. We'll see if Casey Kasheva can get himself out of this top of the fourth. A lot of donuts on the scoreboard right now. Through three innings of play. One and two the count. And the pitch. That one is rocketed into deep right center field. That might find some green grass, and it will. It'll one hop off the track. Roll to the wall. Monroe rounding third, heading for the plate. A strong throw to third instead of home, but it's not in time. So an easy RBI double from Jake Barlow rockets it into straightaway right center field. And so the Saberdogs are on the board first here in game two, leading it 1-0.
Yeah, they really tried to get him to bunt.
Yeah, Drew, you might have to go. You might have to go. If another run scores, we might have to make a quick substitution. I've got to do what's best for my team. So Ben Neubert is on third and Jake Barlow on second for Seth Delgado. Delgado in this game 0-1. First pitch, chopped foul straight back. So, Drew, what do you do in your spare time when you are not working for your, like, during the internship this summer?
A lot of different stuff.
Okay.
We've gone bowling a couple times. There's some other stuff that I can't talk about.
Yeah, that's typically how it goes.
Let's say the bar scene is
0-1 pitch, and that one is hit right back to Kasheva, who knocks it down and flips it to first in time for out number one. Kasheva showing the reflexes there and used his body to keep it in front. And he kept Neubert at third in the process. So there is out number one, and the runners remain at second and third here in the top of the fourth. Seth Delgado, I believe probably his dad, is very active on Twitter and has left some very nice comments on some of my stuff. And so I really appreciate that. So I just want to give a shout out. I think it's Carlo or... what's the name of? Let me go look on Twitter. I got this. We have a quick mound visit anyway. We've got a very quick mound visit from Coach Jamie Habiger out there to check on Casey Kasheva, who's in a bit of a jam here in this top of the fourth inning. 1-0 to score. That mound visit lasts all of about 30 seconds. We are about ready once again. It's George Delgado.
George.
Yes. Yep. I almost said Carlos Delgado, like the famous Blue Jay. I'm sure he would have appreciated that, but you know what? Hey, it's all right. So, George Delgado, if you're listening, I appreciate all of your comments and for being involved with this season. So, it'll be Bradley Harmon here. Infield playing in. First pitch swung on and missed goes with the curveball. Gets him swinging over the top, so the count 0-1. Trapper's playing that red defense, if you want to call it that. Everyone up on the edge of the grass, awaiting a ground ball, the 0-1, and that one is just nubbed right back to Kasheva. So there is your ground ball. It makes the throw to first a bit high, and it is not in time, and that allows for Neubert to score from third. So Kasheva kind of second-guessed himself, pump fakes the throw, and then ended up ultimately throwing it, but it was a high throw. And now we've got Coach Jamie Habiger coming out to say, hey, my guy Barraza was able to get his foot back down before Harmon reached the bag. We'll see if his appeal is met with any sort of overruling. It's tough to do that. If it is not, there will be runners on the corners, still just one away, and it will be 2-0 SaberDogs. I should probably go ahead and update my score on the YouTube live stream. It's fun being the broadcaster and the producer at the same time. Hey, is what it is. And so that appeal is met with no avail. So Harmon is over there on first. Casey Kasheva just kind of was crossed up with that one. Second-guessed himself, and that's typically a recipe for disaster. Brings up Eddie Martinez, runners in the corners, one away. First pitch bounces in the dirt. So the count now 1-0. So of all of the guys on the SaberDogs roster, who is the most fun player to interact with?
There's a couple there. Reed Butts is definitely one. Jake Barlow is another one. I don't even know who I'm missing because they're all so great to interact with. They're all so easy to talk to, and they give us a lot of...
Pick over to first, not in time.
Give us a lot of stuff to put on our social media.
You guys have a pretty good social media game.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that when Ty comes on here. Ty ultimately has the logins for the socials and does his thing. And I'm a big fan of the SaberDogs social media game.
We got to give a shout-out to Mitch Kieran as well. He has put up a lot of our videos and made our video memes. For the
2-0 pitch. That one is rocketed in the air into straightaway left field. Trapagan ranges back and now sprints in. It was knocked down by the wind and makes a catch running in. And so Barlow will score easily from third. That's a sac fly RBI off the bat of Eddie Martinez. That makes it 3-0 SaberDogs. Trapagan, I think, initially thought that ball was going to go a lot farther than it actually did. And the wind is blowing slightly in from left field, so, you know, maybe it knocked that one down a little bit. The best I can say was I got some fly balls in before the game during BP. I had my glove and I was out there. I made a couple of plays. I didn't mess up any plays. That's ultimately the one that matters.
Well, you are what did that guy say yesterday? A D1.
Yes, I'm a D1 intramural softball player. You're right. That one missed outside, so the count 1-0. So where do you go to school?
I go to Metropolitan State University of Denver, right in the heart of downtown Denver.
That must be fun. There's probably a lot to do there.
Yeah. I worked for the Rockies last summer, so that was fun.
That's great. That one misses inside, so the count 2-0. What did you do with the Rockies?
I was an usher, a ticket scanner, and a bag checker.
Hey. Gotta love that.
It was a good little thing.
So when you're doing those jobs, how much can you actually watch the game?
The first 3 innings, I didn't watch any of them. And then once I was sent up to usher, I was able to watch the next 6 or 7.
Okay. 2-0 pitch. That misses outside for ball 3.
I worked the All-Star game at Coors Field. That was cool.
That would have been crazy. Yeah. So are you a Rockies fan then?
I am.
That must be kind of depressing.
It is, especially when our own Ty Bear is a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
I am also a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
You guys stole Nolan from us. We paid you to take it.
3-0 pitch. That one's right down Broadway for a called strike 1. 3-1 the count. 2 outs. Top of the 4th. 3 runs have scored here in the inning for the SaberDogs. That is where their lead stands. 3-0. Casey Kasheva has had to work a lot harder in this half inning than he has the previous 3. That one is popped up into right field. McCreary on the move, and he will run out of room, and it will ultimately drift out of play. So the count now full, 3-2. 2 outs, and that means that Harmon will be on the move from first here on the pitch. Martinez 1-for-1 in this game. Sheva. It's set, and the payoff pitch. That one is fouled off straight back, so we will do it once again. So is baseball probably your favorite sport then, Drew?
I am a basketball man myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you a Nuggets fan?
I'm going to get a lot of heat for this, but no. I'm a Warriors fan.
Oh, God.
As of 2009, I've been going strong.
Oh, come on. I'm a Thunder fan, so I don't like the Warriors.
Hey, you got Chet.
Yeah, true. You're very right, and, you know, so far it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, just wait. In 2 years' time, the Thunder will be back. Runner on the move, payoff pitch, misses in the dirt for ball four. So that will turn the lineup back over to Luis Paleo. Runners on first and second with two away. We'll see how much longer Casey Kasheva goes in this one. I would have to think he'll probably go at least five. He is up to 68 pitches now. About doubled his pitch count here in this top of the fourth. Three earned runs, three hits, three walks. First pitch to Paleo, now misses outside, skips off the glove of Trumbull, then allows for both runners to advance 90 feet, and now two runners in scoring position with two outs.
I think I want to stay on the broadcast for the next six innings.
I think that after this half inning, I'm kicking you off. You changed up the mojo. 3-0, Saberdogs leading in game two. If they can win this one today and then win tomorrow, they will take home that Expedition League championship. Trappers trying to allow that not to happen. The 1-0 now one is backdoored for strike one. I'd be interested to know how long this happening has gone.
That's a good question.
Heather, I think you can let me know how long is this happening gone. If I had to guess, I'd say 14 minutes. Now, when it's hit on the ground up the middle, bounces off the glove of Kasheva. It'll be a tough play for Bendek. Barehand, throw to first, is not in time, and it skips away, and so two runs will score for the Saberdogs. Just an unlucky bounce there off the glove of Kasheva. Connor Bendek had to try and make a desperation throw barehanded, and it skipped away, and so both runs scored. So that makes it 5-0. Drew, I'm going to boot you out right now. Get out of here. I appreciate you coming on. I'm doing it mid-inning.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Hey, I appreciate you. Thanks for joining me. You were just bad luck, so I had to get rid of you.
I was great luck, actually.
Appreciate that. Drew Fiddler here for the top of the fourth, but he is now gone. You've been tossed. I've ejected you. You got to go watch from the other room now. We've got Ty Barrett back on here. Ty, thanks for relieving your running mate after he gave us some terrible luck here at the top of the fourth.
I swear, first pitch is an out. I'm leaving. Okay, I'll take it.
First pitch misses outside for ball one. It's Hunter Delanoy back up there now.
That can't be bad luck for us. Can't be.
So five runs have scored here in this top of the fourth inning. Casey Kasheva was dealing through three, but just has struggled with command, had some unlucky breaks. The 1-0 pitch goes off speed, and that one is taken in the dirt for ball two.
With this inning, I mean, obviously Barlow barreled that ball up to straightaway center, but it's just been a few errors here and there. I mean, they're trying to make great plays, and you can't really be upset about that. They're going their hardest right now.
2-0 the count, runner on first, and the pitch. That's a called strike. Maybe a little bit low, but
I mean,
give them
as long
grace.
As you say it's a little bit low, I'll agree with it.
Hey, I mean, you know, I just got to say it as I see it. You know, we'll take it.
I just don't want to badmouth anybody on here. I just want to be careful.
Yeah, no, hey, you're doing a good job of being careful. 2-1 the count. Yeah, Drew, you might just have to stay off the broadcast forever. You've been banned, the permaband. Runner on the move. Throw down to second. It's a strong one, but it bounces, so it is not in time. That's a stolen base.
Thing is, I've already made plenty of people mad on social media this season. I just want to...
See,
I would be on everybody's good side now.
Here's the thing, though, as Luis Paleo is there at second base after stealing the bag. To have a really good social media presence,
you have to
be willing to ruffle some feathers.
And I'm fine with that. Like, I am totally fine with that. I was posted as a Saberdogs. I don't post as myself.
Right. 3-1 pitch. That one is run in there for a called strike two. So full count now.
I just can't get over how beautiful it is here, really. Like, I mean, coming from the South, I mean, you never really hear a lot about, like, North Dakota, South Dakota. I mean, all these northern states up here. And
they kind of were just, like...
I didn't really know what to expect.
They're lost world,
Exactly. And the Great Plains, like, whenever I think of Great
Plains... Payoff pitch, and that one is hit in the air into straightaway center field. Maddox Mueller barely has to move and makes the catch. So we get Drew out of here and immediately get an out to get out of the inning. Ty, thank you for switching it back to being maybe in the Trapper's favor. You'll have to stay on here for the bottom of the fourth to see if we can maybe try and put up a bit of an offensive rally. We'll take a quick break. 5-0 the score. Saber Dogs put up a handful of runs in that top of the fourth inning. So we will go to the bottom of the fourth here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Experience the Outpost Lodge overlooking the Cow Creek Bay on Lake Oahe, just 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804. Come and enjoy fine dining in the unique atmosphere of the lodge at the Lakefront Steakhouse. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Specializing in steaks and barbecue ribs, serving locally raised Cowan Ranch beef. For your next meal, head to the Outpost Lodge, 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804.
Living with less pain means living at your best, but an action-packed life can wear your body down. Avera Orthopedics keeps you moving with total joint replacements for pain you don't have to live with. Find relief with the region's largest orthopedic physician team of specialized surgeons so you can keep moving forward. Avera, moving health forward. Learn more at avera.org/sf-total joint.
Welcome back into Hyde Stadium. Bottom of the fourth inning, 5-0. The Saber Dogs lead it after their 5-run top of the fourth. Ryan Breeden, Ty Barrett here to my right. And Heather, you got me on that name, that tune. I have no idea what song that was. So the undefeated streak that I had going through 3.5 innings is no longer. You'll have to tell me what that song was because I have no idea.
Hey, all good things must come to an end.
To be fair, I feel like it's not fair to play a beginning guitar riff of like
That's
an
true.
80s or a 90s song or whatever, because there's a lot of those.
A lot of them kind of sound the same, but once it starts breaking down, then you can tell the difference.
Exactly. Set me up for failure, Heather. You don't want me to go unbeaten.
Before we get this inning rolling, I just want to give a shout-out to our one of the other interns that's not able to be here with us. We got Mitch down on the field getting some video right now, but Justin's not able to be here with us. He's up in Chicago right now getting ready to do believe he's going to London, isn't it? He's he's going to be doing some foreign exchange stuff, so it's really happy for him, really excited for him. Just wish he could be here with us.
Hey, I want to go out of the country and travel.
Oh, my God, I would love to.
Hunter Brown, first pitch fastball, piped in there and taken for a called strike one. Brown up here the second time in this game. He is 0-for-1 thus far. Had that RBI base hit with two outs in game one. The 0-1 pitch. That one is rocketed to second base and fielded on a line by Jake Barlow. Again, Hunter Brown has got to be the unluckiest person I have ever seen as he takes his bat all the way down to first and just gives a
That's
nice
awesome.
Little tomahawk chop to that first
awesome.
Base bag saying, come on, baseball gods, give me something.
Yeah, you can't hit it much harder than that. And that's why I fell in love with baseball, because, I mean, you can have hits like that, and then you can have, like, the last inning. Just little things going your way. And
if this just goes to tell you basically anything, Hunter Brown leads the team in quality at-bats. He leads the team, actually is second on the team, in hard-hit balls. But his batting average on balls in play is just... Now, let me see if I can even find it. I'm scrolling through all these right now. Noah McCreary is up, and the count is 1-0. Hunter Brown's batting average on balls in plays is .270. When he puts it in play, he is unlucky. That one misses low and in, so the count 2-0. One out, bottom of the fourth. Nobody aboard.
This is the start we really wanted from Dewey. One giving up only one hit through
2-0 pitch, hit on the ground to second. Barlow on the move, deep in the hole, and it gets through there for a base hit. Thank you for bringing and learning the announcer's jinx the hard way. I have learned it the hard way probably too many times to count.
I feel horrible, Jake, if you're listening to this, Miss Barlow, if you're listening to this, I am so sorry that we had to give up that hit right there.
I'm not sorry, but I'm happy for Noah.
Understandable.
He's got his hurt right hand and all, it's taped up.
Noah's one of the coolest guys I got to meet down in Minot. Whenever he came to Minot, I mean, just had normal conversations, got to talk to him. I mean, the coolest thing being an intern is, like, I didn't know what to expect from the players, but, I mean, just all of them have treated us like we're on the team along with them, not just being interns. It's been awesome up here.
Anthony Barraza up for the second time, and that one, a changeup, misses in the dirt, so the count 1-0.
Looks like Dewey slid a little bit on that one.
Barraza, the only trapper to hit a home run against the Saberdogs. He had that two-run shot back last time the Saberdogs were here in Pier.
So since you said that now, that means he won't do it again, right?
Oh, big swing and a miss. He was trying to do it on that one, but it was a bit early. Went back to the changeup again and had him out in front, so the count 1-1.
All of your guys have been taking all the trappers guys have been taking really good swings so far this game.
They've been aggressive.
Dewey's been doing a really good job of keeping them off balance with his off-speed stuff.
The 1-1 pitch. There's another big swing. Comes up empty on that one as well. So the count 1-2. I'm actually curious about something, so I'm going to take a peek at a stat if I can find it. There's just too many stats to even look at.
Game Changer goes
crazy. Game Changer really goes in-depth, and I don't know how they do it. I don't know how you calculate a hard-hit ball when there's no exit velocity.
We literally have no guns or anything like that. Like,
misses to the count 2-2.
I have no idea what any of our pitchers have been throwing. We have no idea what exit velos are. We just know with Chris Monroe, it's hard.
Yep.
Every single time, it's hard.
So this season in total, the Saberdogs pitching staff has given up 7 home runs. The only trapper to have one of those is Anthony Barraza, who is at the plate right now. They could use another one in this spot. Bottom of the fourth, 1 out, runner on first.
If there's anybody on this team to do it, it's him. Not just because
Barraza calls time.
Not just because he has one against us, but I mean, looking at him, I mean, he's a big physical guy. He can really run one out of here. Watching him during BP was a lot of fun today.
After quarantine back in late 2020, Anthony Barraza was over 300 pounds.
Really?
And really hit the gym hard, lost a lot of weight. The 2-2 swing and a miss for strike 3.
Lost the weight, but then lose that power. Incredible.
Yeah, that all that weight and all that mass went to his upper body.
Exactly.
Up to the shoulders, and so he has a ton of power. But
he got a little bit in those legs, too.
Yeah. So after the strikeout, there are now 2 outs in the bottom of the fourth. It brings up Tynan Shahidi. I don't know if you can hear his walk-up song. If we take a second.
I couldn't hear it.
It's the Jurassic Park theme song.
I love it.
The Jurassic Park theme song. And if you knew Tynan Shahidi, or if you do know him, for people who are watching or listening, you would know that that pretty much perfectly fits his personality.
What is he, like a T-Rex?
No, he's just a quirky dude. That one hit him on the back, so a first pitch takes it off the ribs, and he is trotting down to first base. So there are now 2 runners aboard here with 2 away in the bottom of the fourth. And now we'll have a quick mound visit. Coach Kieran.
I love social media, but social media has ruined so many things for me. Like, Jurassic Park has been ruined by social media because every time I think of Jurassic Park, I think of the Chris Pratt meme.
The
3 of them that are right there.
Oh, my God.
It's just every single time. But, I mean, shout out Chris Pratt. He's awesome.
Shout out Chris Pratt if you're listening. If Chris Pratt is listening to an Expedition League baseball game, shout out.
I also know my dad loves that reference, so shout out dad, shout out mom.
Hey, yes. You got to give all the shout outs that you can.
Oh, and Fletch. I completely forgot Fletch earlier. Fletcher was, he did our PA over at Minot in Corbett Field.
Yes.
And he was incredible. I mean, the sound effect that he would do and all that kind of stuff, it was just perfect.
And I'm a little bit upset that I didn't get to go back to Minot again, because last time I was there, it was the day after the Kenobi finale dropped.
Yes.
And
yes.
I watched it. Fletch had not watched it, but he is a diehard Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'll watch it. And the next time you guys come to Minot, we'll talk about it.
Yes.
There never was another time, so I haven't been able to talk to Fletch about the finale.
Literally, the funniest thing is, like, during this year, it was me, Justin, Mitch, and Drew sharing an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment, which it was honestly fine. I don't think there were really any problems at all.
Yeah.
But we would all watch the Kenobi, too, and then where we would get to the stadium, we'd talk to Fletch about the show and, like, what we think's going to happen, and give him all our conspiracy theories.
Max Mueller, first pitch taken for strike 1. Has he talked to you about the Kenobi finale?
No, we haven't gone. It's been a minute since I've gone to see Flex in person, just because we haven't been at the field.
I know, it's
like
been
that.
Weird. You guys had like 2 weeks off, it seems.
Yeah, it's been a while. Because I got to go through the line yesterday and do the final video when they're walking through the line. I was like, when I was done, I was like, wow, I haven't done this in forever. It felt like forever.
Mueller steps out and calls time. The count 0-1, two outs, bottom of the fourth, 5-0, the Saberdogs leading it here. Game two of this Expedition League Championship best of five series. Trent Duyer has been dealing in this one.
Doing a really good
and
job.
Pitch misses high.
Keeping these runners on first and second.
That was pitch number 54 from Trent Duyer. He's given up two hits, no earned runs, and five strikeouts. One of those strikeouts was Maddox Mueller, who is at the plate right now. The 1-1. That one misses low and outside, so the count 2-1. Maddox Mueller is one of those guys who has some sneaky power as well. He has a home run to his credit this season.
He looks like he can fly.
He can. He is probably the fastest on the team. But he said he refuses to ever participate in an informal race. Is that one?
It's just because
it's for ball three.
Is it because he doesn't want to have like the title that he actually lost? Or
no, it's because we talked about this last night. He said, you know, unless it is like an organized 40 time or some sort of like organized combine event, I don't want to do a race because I don't want to get hurt in a stupid way.
Fair.
And jeopardize my career and have to tell my coach, yeah, I blew out my ACL running a race against the Trappers broadcast intern.
That's totally fair.
The 3-1 in that one is a called strike. Maddox Mueller started to take a step out of the box as if it's ball four. Certainly appeared to be potentially ball four, but instead it is 3-2.
Being an unbiased broadcaster, that was a little help.
Hey, look at you go.
I'm learning.
Runners on first and second. Both of them will be on the move on the pitch. The 3-2 bounces for ball four. So here we go. The Trappers, after surrendering five runs in the top of the fourth, here in the bottom half of the inning, they have bases loaded with two outs. And we have a little bit of deja vu here. In the eighth inning of last night's game, the Trappers had bases loaded with two outs for Tyler Trapphagen, and he grounded out to second as the tying run. Here, with two outs in the bottom of the fourth, bases loaded for Tyler Trapphagen again.
That's what you gotta love about baseball.
So Tyler Trapphagen apparently had John Hunt come up and tell me, Tyler Trapphagen told my GM John Hunt that he's going to be in this situation again today, and he's right, and he said he's not going to leave him loaded this time. First pitch swinging, and it's fouled off straight back. If Tyler Trapphagen can call his shot here and deliver, that would be beyond impressive.
I will absolutely take the headset off as soon as it happens.
No, you won't. I'll leave that. It'll be stuck to your head the rest of this game.
Get some Gorilla Glue on it.
Yep. Good luck getting it off. 0-1 the count. Two outs. Bases loaded in the fourth. Trappers need this to try and swing the momentum back the other direction. 0-1 pitch. That one is hit in the air out to straightaway right field. Delanoy camps under it, and he has it. Four out number three. So Trapphagen had his situation bases loaded, and of course you never know. He might get that situation again later on in the game. We still have five more innings left to potentially be played. But the Trappers strand the bases loaded in the bottom of the fourth. So let's take a quick pause and head to the fifth inning. 5-0 our score. The Saberdogs leading it here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Now you can book flights from Pier Regional Airport through United.com and American Airlines. If traveling to Denver, schedule your flight at DenverAirConnection.com. Plus, the morning flight is now at 8:20, allowing you to connect to the majority of continued flights. Avoid the crowds, enjoy free parking, and no driving when you fly from Pier Regional Airport. One-way rates as low as $59, 50-passenger jets, and a one-hour direct flight to Denver. Skip the drive. Fly from Pier Regional Airport.
Tokyo Japanese Cuisine prepares authentic Japanese fare, including hibachi and delicious sushi. Conveniently located in the Northridge Plaza, Tokyo is a great choice for eat-in or takeout in the pier area. Tokyo Japanese Cuisine is known for its variety in taste and high-quality fresh ingredients. They're open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 9 on Sundays. For carryout orders, call Tokyo Japanese Cuisine at 605-494-3388.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back into Hyde Stadium. Top of the fifth, we've got some Black Eyed Peas, I've Got a Feeling, bringing us back in. 5-0 the score. Saber Dogs leading it over the Trappers, who just stranded the bases loaded in the bottom of the fourth. That is the second time the Trappers have done that in this championship series. We talked before the game with Coach Jamie Habiger about, you know, just missing those timely hits yesterday, getting down early, and then just not being able to rally back due to a lack of those timely hits. Missed out on an opportunity in that last half inning. We'll see if they can potentially take advantage going forward here in this game. Casey Kosheva is back out there, and he is facing Chris Monroe. First pitch swing in. That one is hit in the air to the right side. Drifting foul, and it will land out of play. So the count 0-1. I've got to give my producer, Heather Williams, my typical car wellness report. I'm safe. I'm parked over and down that right field line in the parking lot, so pretty much in zero danger. A one pitch, hit on the ground through the right side for a base hit. Swinging 0-1, Chris Monroe hits that one hard on the ground. So that is his first hit of the game, and just the fourth hit in total for the Saber Dogs tonight, despite those five runs. Really, those have come from the three walks, the hit by pitch, and the two errors by the Trappers infield. That really has been the main result of a majority of the runs. Ben Newbert first pitch swinging, lines it to left field. On the move, Trap Hagen makes the catch for out number one. Newbert aggressive there, swinging at the first pitch he saw. Did not pay off, though. That brings up Jake Barlow. He is 1-for-2 in this game. His last at-bat was an RBI double into deep right center field. He has a runner on first this time around. Chris Monroe was the base runner that scored on that RBI double. First pitch swinging and pops that one up into shallow right field. It'll be Noah McCreary on the move that makes the catch, kind of stumbling while doing so. Had to run a long way. Connor Bendek at second base looked like he was there, but then was called off at the last minute. So two away now, and the last two pitches have resulted in outs after that leadoff base hit. Casey Kosheva, just over 80 pitches here in this one. At 81. Two outs, top of the fifth inning. 5-0 the score. Saber Dogs leading it here. Seth Delgado up. First pitch, off speed, taken for strike one. It's a nice day for baseball here today. It was supposed to be around 100 degrees, but then that heat wave ended up skipping out and waiting until tomorrow. So we'll be feeling the effects of that for tomorrow's game three. A one pitch. That one is rocketed into left field over the glove of Hunter Brown at third, and it will settle in for a two-out base hit. That is hit number 5 for the Saber Dogs, their second one of this inning. The first one for Seth Delgado. There are now runners on first and second with two away. But to finish my little weather report, I guess, 85 degrees was temperature at first pitch. Wind blowing up 8 miles an hour, about 50% humidity. Maybe making the ball hang up a little bit in the air. We've seen it do that a couple of times in this game. So two away. Brings up Bradley Harmon, a big-bodied third baseman, switch hitter. First pitch swinging, and it's popped up into shallow left field. Trap Hagen puts up his glove to battle the sun and makes the catch while lunging forward for the final out of the inning. So Casey Kosheva responds very well after giving up 5 runs in the fourth, pitches a scoreless frame in the top of the fifth, and so the score remains 5-0 as we go to the bottom half of the fifth inning here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
When you're ready to wash your car, head to Classic Car Wash on Wells and Pier. Use any of their 4 wash bays with card processing for your convenience.
and features like spot-free rinse and the best vacs in town. Needing to wash your boat? Use the easy access outside bay. Keep your car looking sharp with Classic Car Wash on Wells Avenue in Pier.
Not every beer has a backstory, but this one sure does. Introducing Dakota Thirst, a new honey lager brewed locally with a touch of South Dakota honey. For every beer sold, a dollar goes to the South Dakota Community Foundation. Cheers to you, South Dakota. Learn more at firstdakotabeer.com. First Dakota National Bank, member FDIC.
Got some breakaway from Kelly Clarkson bringing us into the bottom of the fifth inning here. Ryan Breeden alone in the Hyde Stadium press box. We've got a 5-0 ball game here through 4.5 innings of play. Trent Duhier back out for his fifth inning of work. He has been lights out so far in this one. Giving up just 2 hits, no earned runs. Has struck out 6, struck out 5, and has thrown 60 pitches on the dot. Carson Trumpold will lead off the bottom of the fifth inning. He had a base hit in his first at-bat. It was the first hit of the game for the Trappers. Driven by the Office of Highway Safety, River 92.7, KGFX, FM Pier. Seatbelts save lives, so please buckle up every time. First pitch of the inning underway, and it is in there, taken for strike one. Goes with that off-speed pitch. Carson Trumpold was not looking for that, so just watched it go by. Trumpold drove a fastball through the right side of the infield in his last at-bat. There's a fastball there, and it misses. I think that one missed just a bit outside. So count 1-1. Trumpold this season, before tonight's game, had just 1 hit against the Saberdogs and 8 at-bats. Doubles that hit total, though, in 1 AB tonight. The pitch, that one brushed him off the plate, and that's not a strike. Trumpold had to lunge, had to stretch his way limbo out of the way of that fastball on the inside, brushed him off, and it was a called strike. You could hear the very blatant groan from the crowd, and you could see Carson Trumpold just shoot a quick look to that home plate umpire and say, come on, man. 1-2 pitch, and that one missed low and outside for ball two. So the count is even at 2-2. An important thing as well for a young baseball team like these Trappers are, you know, you've got to respond and not let one of those strike calls get to you. You've got to say, all right, there's nothing I can do about that. That's in the past. This pitch is all that matters. The 2-2, and he takes it right down the middle for strike three. Gives some words to the home plate umpire, who just points back to the dugout saying, hey. And now he takes off the mask, and I think he just ejected Carson Trumpold. He did. Trumpold just tossed the bat down, and he's coming in to get some words to that home plate umpire. Pointing in his face as the umpire turns his back, he's like, come on, dude. That was not a strike. Trumpold's not happy. He's been tossed from this game. So Garrett Arnold, the Trappers catcher, will have to go the rest of this game. You kind of saw that one coming as well. Trumpold was very upset after that called strike two. And after that called strike three, he just kind of kept turning his head back to that home plate umpire, continuing to shout some words over in that direction. And eventually, finally, he just gave him the toss, threw up the hand, and said, all right, you're out of here. So Carson Trumpold's night is done after going down on strikes. Now Coach Jamie Haviger vacates his third base coaching box to try and figure out what he will do with that catcher spot. I assume it will be Garrett Arnold, but Garrett also caught last night, so you want to be careful about overworking your catchers. Connor Bendek, first pitch swinging on the ground, up the middle, past the diving attempt at shortstop, and through for a base hit. So to get back to the game itself, The Trappers have a runner on first. After that base hit from the number nine hitter, Connor Bendek. One out, bottom of the fifth. Saberdogs 5, Trappers 0. Back to the top of the order for Jackson Mix. You know, another thing I was thinking about as well, this could be a potential fantastic time for us to see Cy props for the first time as a Trapper. He was a Rooster this entire season, but then wanted to join the team for this championship series after the Roosters disbanded and folded at the end of this last series last weekend. First pitch to Mix bounces in front of the plate, so the count 1-0. So, you know, maybe we'll see Cy Probst out there. It looks like he's getting his catcher's gear on, so I think that we will see Cy Probst for the top of the sixth inning when the Trappers are back in the field. One and oh the count. Jackson Mix. And the pitch. Now it has popped up to the right side. Will it drift out of play? Chris Monroe from first ranges over near the dugout and makes the catch. So had just enough room to make that play. So there are now two outs here in the bottom of inning number five. So that brings up Hunter Brown. And you know what? We're going to have a bit of a fun time with this. We'll keep this PG, of course, but I've got Carson Trumple up here. He had just been tossed from the game a few moments ago. We were talking about why that might be, and I think that boiling point was probably that called strike two that looked like you had to limbo yourself out of the way of that was called. I know that you were a bit frustrated with that, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I respectfully did not agree with that call there.
First pitch changeup misses below the zone, so the count 1-0.
You know, I felt like, Dewey's already a good pitcher. I don't think he needs any help out there, so.
For sure. And so did some of those frustrations also kind of boil over from when you were behind the plate catching? I figured so.
I thought he missed a couple on us.
1-0 pitch. There's a called strike. So what have you seen from this strike zone from our home plate umpire tonight? What's your kind of analysis after you were out there for, I guess, what, 4.5 innings?
I just think he's been a little inconsistent. I let him know.
Yeah. 1-1, and that one's hit on the ground to short, fielded on the backhand off the heel of the glove, and there will be no throw to first. That'll probably go down as an infield single for Hunter Brown. Hit that one into the deepest part of that hole between the 5 and 6 positions. And despite that backhanded attempt from Martinez, could not make the play. So runners on first and second, two outs here, bottom of the fifth, and we'll have to see if Noah McCreary can come through. So what was your last message to your dugout before having to, I guess, ultimately vacate and come up here?
Just said, go win it. I mean, we're still in this game.
Yeah.
You know, 5 runs, these guys are good, so... You know, we can put up 5. So, I just told them, use that, a little bit of motivation. And
first pitch to McCreary, and that one misses outside. So the count 1-0. McCreary in this one has a base hit, one of the 4 base hits from the Trappers. One of them also came from Carson Trumpold, who is up here with me for this remainder of this half inning after being ejected. Is that one to sit on the ground to the right side and through for a base hit. That will roll down the line for extra bases. One run will score for sure. Hunter Brown on his horse heading to home, and he will score easily. McCreary standing up actually slides into third, and that is a 2-RBI triple from Noah McCreary. That one cuts into the deficit. Just took one swing. McCreary, his second hit of the night. Squeaked that one past Monroe at first, and it went all the way to the wall. And so with the placement of that one, able to take third as well. And that brings up Anthony Barraza after Connor Bendek scored, as well as Hunter Brown. It is now 5-2 here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Runner on third, Anthony Barraza at the plate.
Let's go, Tony.
0-for-2 of the strikeout in this game. Hits that one to second. Fielded by Barlow, and the throw to first is in time for out number 3. but not before the Trappers get a clutch two-out, two RBI triple from Noah McCreary. And so that cuts in to the deficit, now just a three-run deficit as we go to the top of the sixth inning. 5-2, the Saberdogs lead it. Casey Kasheva back out there for another inning of work here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
The Corner Station in Pierre can help you get ready for all of your activities and trips all summer long. Fuel up your car, grab snacks, drinks, and coffee, and get on the road so you can make the most of the beautiful summer months. Save 10 cents off per gallon when you pay in-store with cash or a check. They are open every day at 7 a.m. Stop into the Corner Station located at 103 East Pleasant Drive on the S-Curve in Pierre.
Now you can book flights from Pierre Regional Airport through United.com and American Airlines. If traveling to Denver, schedule your flight at DenverAirConnection.com. Plus, the morning flight is now at 8:20, allowing you to connect to the majority of continued flights. Avoid the crowds, enjoy free parking, and no driving when you fly from Pierre Regional Airport. One-way rates as low as $59, 50-passenger jet, and a one-hour direct flight to Denver. Skip the drive. Fly from Pierre Regional Airport.
Welcome back in here to Hyde Stadium. We've got Heather Williams playing Fireflies by Owl City as we come back for the top of the sixth. 5-2 the score. The Trappers had that two RBI triple from Noah McCreary down the line just a few moments ago. That's where those two runs have come from for the Trappers. Casey Kasheva back out there once again. Ryan Breeden here, and I have Carson Trumpled to my right. First pitch, that is a called strike one. Carson was the starting catcher tonight for the Trappers, had a base hit in his first at-bat, was then called out on strikes in his second at-bat, and was ultimately ejected from the game. A one pitch, there's a called strike two. Before making his way up here, and so I immediately was like, all right, we got to have Carson on here to have us talk us through what that sequence was like. We were talking about this during that last commercial break as well. You know, you might have made yourself a little bit of a mockingjay for the team. Yeah. You know, get them all rallied behind you, get them pumped up. That one bounces in the dirt.
Yeah, you know, everybody was high-fiving me as I was leaving the dugout. To be honest, I don't even really remember what I said. It was almost so upset I almost like blacked out, and all of a sudden
that blinding.
And all of a sudden he's like, "You're done." All right.
1-2 pitch. Now it misses high. The home crowd starting to get more involved in this one. This game now just a three-run game. Cy Propst is the new catcher for the Trappers. So this is his first time wearing that Trapper gold. 2-2 pitch. That one is roped into straightaway center field. Now we'll get down for a base hit. Maddox Mueller moves over to his left and cuts it off. But that is a leadoff single from Eddie Martinez. So he is now 1-for-2 in this one. That brings up Eric Martinez. So what has been your overall assessment of Casey tonight?
You know, I thought Casey has pitched extremely well. That's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 zeros up so far, you know, with one bad inning with
first pitch. Now it skips away, and that will allow for Martinez to take second base.
You know, with a couple of errors, we're out of that inning with only, you know, two or three. So, you know, I think, you know, we just put up two. I think the boys can battle back here. I got a lot of confidence here in the Trappers. So,
one thing that we talk about a lot with Casey is his control. He has great stuff, and he's able to get out of jams very well, but sometimes has some control problems. It seems like they have been a lot better in this game. Pitch squares to bunt, but cannot make contact, and it's called a strike. So the count 1-1. Which pitch of Casey's do you think has been working the best here?
Tonight his changeup has been really on. We were throwing a lot of that to lefties, his changeup I don't know what's his name. He's playing third base tonight.
Oh yeah, yeah, Harmon.
Harmon, we threw that twice to him.
That
pass inning, but we got him to pop up, get out of the inning.
So how does it work when you have a change of catchers in a pitcher's mindset, like, are you still wanting to throw the same things? Are you having a conversation with your new catcher saying, hey, look, this is what we've been calling, this is what's been working, this is what I want? Because that one skips away from Cy props, and that allows for Martinez to take third.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure Casey told them before they went out there, hey, you know, this is what's been working, what I've been throwing a lot. You know, it's tough for Cy to come in. He's never caught any of our guys. So, you know, it's always tough to come in, and I'm going to apologize to him here afterwards. But
you've got to respect him wanting to be here.
Yeah.
He could have gone home.
Yep.
He could have said, you know what, it's not worth it for me to stay here for, what, 2 to 4 games?
Yep.
But he wanted to be here. The 3-1, that one's laced into left center field. Trap Hagen on the move and makes the catch on the run for out number one. There's that range and that speed from the Trappers outfielder, Tyler Trap Hagen. Looked like it could have been trouble off the bat, but instead it makes the play. So one away here. Top of inning number 6. Runner on third. It's back to the top of the order, Luis Paleo. So what was the game plan coming into this one on getting Luis Paleo out after his 2-home-run game last night?
I think Luis is probably one of the best hitters I've ever seen. And there's not really much.
First pitch leaks outside.
Not really much you can do in terms of a game plan. You kind of just hope that he gets himself out almost.
Is there like any sort of go-to pitch or like any weakness that you found from Paleo?
Nope.
He's one of those guys who just feels like he can spray it everywhere.
He hits everything, and, you know, you see a lot of these guys will play the shift.
1-0 pitch. That one is just sliced foul up out of play onto Capitol. Let's hope it doesn't hit a passing car. It does not.
You know, you see a lot of guys like Chris Monroe, you know, will play the shift on him because he pulls the ball a lot. With Paleo, there's no real, you know, he hits the ball everywhere. So you got to play him straight up, and you know he's not going to strike out. So.
1-1 pitch. That one is just nubbed foul.
It's like that ball's almost on the ground there, and he still finds a way to foul it off. So.
And with 2 strikes, you'll notice here, he just chokes up on that bat, goes about a hand width or maybe a half a hand up, just gives him even more control, almost an extension of his arm.
Yeah, he's good.
Infield playing in here with 1 away. The 1-2 pitch goes with the off speed, and it just misses up and outside. Is that a slider there from Casey?
Yeah, it looks like a slider. Sometimes it'll back up a little bit, pop out of his hand sometimes.
2-2 the count. Runner on third, 1 out. Top of the 6th and the pitch. Oh, it looked good out of the hand. Was that a changeup?
Yeah, that might have been a changeup there.
Looked like a changeup from Casey Kasheva, and it was near the knees, the kneecaps of Luis Paleo. Does not get the call, and I know that the home crowd now will be a lot more attentive of that umpire after being driven to pay attention.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with catchers is we usually have a pretty good rapport with the umpire. So if a catcher's upset, you know, then he's having a bad night back there.
The payoff pitch, Matt misses high, ball 4. So Paleo again has a 2-strike count. Able to battle back and ultimately draw the 1-out walk. So runners now on the corners. That brings up Hunter Delanoy. He is 0-for-3 in this game. You know, Hunter Delanoy, he's kind of one of the great mysteries of this league. You know, he doesn't really jump off the page at you when you watch him in person on the eye test. But in the stat sheet, has the best batting average and on-base percentage in league history.
Yeah.
It's almost completely goes under the radar. You would never think that this guy, Hunter Delanoy, would do that.
Yeah, Hunter is also, I mean, hats off to the Saberdogs. Those guys they're a very good team. You know, and Paleo and Delanoy are just incredibly hard to get out.
First pitch, Paleo on the move. That one misses, I guess. And that's an easy stolen base for Paleo. No throw down from Cy props. Of course, I have a bit of a weird angle from up here, offset to the right. To me, it looked like it was in there, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of the great mysteries.
It is. It really is.
And I feel like you never really know what it's like to be a home plate umpire until you are one.
Yeah. You know, I did it a bit in high school.
1-0 pitch, and there is a fastball in there for a called strike.
Spot.
It looked like the same spot to me.
I don't get it.
1-1 the count. 1 out here, top of the 6th. 5-2 the score of the Saberdogs leading it.
You know, umpiring is very hard. I did a bit in high school, but the main thing is be consistent. You know, if you got a big zone, that's fine, but have a consistently big zone the whole night.
The 1-1 pitch. That one is hit in the air high out to right field. McCreary camps under. We'll see if we have a play at home. Martinez tags, uses those long strides, and the throw home was a good one, but just not in time. You know, I don't know why, but up here it looked like Martinez kind of picked up that left hand, picked it up, and then reset it back down to avoid the tag. It looked like he almost missed home.
Yeah. That's a good throw, but I know that ball's pretty deep there.
A lot closer of a play than what it initially seemed it would be. Either way, it goes down in the stat sheet as a sacrifice fly RBI from Hunter Delanoy. Drives in Eddie Martinez. It is now 6-2. Saber Dogs here in the top of the sixth. So when you're behind the plate, Carson, what is your ideal strike zone? Like, what is, like, for you?
As a catcher or as a hitter?
We'll go as a catcher first. First pitch, that's right down the broad. Way for
a call. I like maybe about a ball off on both sides. Because this isn't the major leagues. For college guys, you know, a good spot is about a ball off.
Make them expand a little bit.
Yeah, so maybe, like, a bit of a bigger zone. But I don't, as a hitter.
A one pitch. That one is hit in the air out to shallow right field. Connor Bendek at second camps under it a few feet into the grass and makes the catch for out number three. So that will end the top of the sixth. Carson, you go ahead and finish up your comment on our strike zones.
As a hitter, I'm not a big fan of, inside zones that are inside heavy, meaning, he'll give in. Especially with higher velo, that's broken bats and it's hard to get the barrel to it. So I'd rather have a bit off than a bit in, if that makes sense.
Yep, for sure. We'll take a quick break and head to the bottom of the sixth inning. 6-2 the score. Saber Dogs leading it over your Trappers here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm from Griggs Motors. I have an automotive key addiction. I go to the junkyard, I take keys out, I take them home, I pick them, I disassemble them, and when I get good at that, I hang upside down, and I take them apart and do it as fast as I can. So before you go to a dealer, I can save you a lot of money from a tow, and I can do things with automotive keys that dealers can't even dream about. I can do broken keys, I can do key programming, key fobs, anything to do with automotive keys that they tell you that you can't do, I can do. Come check me out at GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this name that tune just from the piano.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
I'm going to have to take the L on that one. I'm pretty sure, though, if I was able to hear 30 more seconds of that song, that I'd be able to get it right. Oh, well, is what it is. Bottom of the sixth inning about to get underway here. 6-2 the score. The Saber Dogs leading it over the Trappers. That was the final score of last night's game one. We'll see if the Trappers can cut into this four-run deficit. Ryan Breed in here. Carson Trumpold to my right, fresh off of his ejection in the bottom of the fifth inning.
It's my first career ejection ever.
That's saying something, I guess.
Been playing ball a long time. I'm usually pretty cool-headed, but
I see you're going back and rewatching that right now on the live stream. Anything that's sticking out to you just watching it back?
That was a ball. I had a right to be upset.
Yeah. Tynan Shahidi up there now. He is 0-for-1 in this game. Struck out. Also was hit by a pitch in the ribs. So 6-2. Only one more hit for the Saber Dogs than the Trappers. Trent Duhier. First pitch. That one misses outside. So the count 1-0. And that was maybe one of those situations where that looked maybe like a ball off the plate. So in your ideal world, you're probably wanting a strike on that.
Yeah, as a catcher. As a hitter, I don't mind it. But
1-0 pitch, and that one is swung on and chopped to the left side. Foul just down that third baseline. Mm-hmm. So we count 1-1. Trent Dewier on what they call Dewier Day when he is on the mound. He has thrown 76 pitches over 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, and 6 strikeouts. Chahidi, one of those strikeouts. Swaying the shoulders, rocking into that windup. The 1-1, that one is fouled straight back. But a couple of feet to the left of our press box here. Offset down that first base line. So 1-2 the count. So after you get done here in the booth, what do you do after this? Where do you go? Just stay up here and watch?
Yeah, I'll just stay up here and watch.
That one bounces, so the count now 2-2.
Yeah, the AC is nice up here. It's pretty hot down there, so. But yeah, I'll just hang out and watch, and then go down after the game. But I got a good feeling here.
I'm hoping as well. The 2-2, and that one's hit on the ground is short. Martinez fields it, and the throw to first a bit offline, and it's out of the glove of Monroe. Hey, you just had a feeling that leadoff runner was going to reach. It was Chris Monroe who was unable to scoop that one. So that will be an error. And Tynan Shahidi reaches base safely to lead off this bottom of the sixth. That brings up Maddox Mueller. And so we have a comment as well on our YouTube Live from Eric Delanois. I assume there's some relation to Hunter, saying, unfortunately, being tossed, you're out for the next game as well. I didn't know that.
I knew that. But,
you know, you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah. It's a little bit of frustration boiling over, unfortunately, and probably should have kept my cool, but.
First pitch, Maddox Mueller squares the bunt, and it's a good one down that third baseline. A tough play, and the throw, and it is not in time. And it skips away as well, and that allows for Shahidi to take third. I thought the throw might have been on time, but it turns out Monroe was unable to glove it, and it skipped away. So two misplays from Chris Monroe at first base, and now all of a sudden, Trappers have runners on the corners with nobody out. It was a perfectly placed bunt down that third base line. Let's see if we can get a bit of a rally going here. We have a mound visit. And look who it is again. Tyler Trapphagen.
Yeah, he's hot. He's a good hitter.
It feels like he has been up there in these situations in both today's game and last night. He had that bases loaded two-out situation in the eighth of last game. He had bases loaded, two outs in the bottom of the fourth of this game. Was unable to come through in either of those two, but he has a chance to wipe all of that to the wayside with this at-bat.
Yeah, he's due here. You know, all he's got to do is put something in there and drive in a run.
Over two with a strikeout. He's got runners on the corners, nobody out. Bottom of the sixth. Trappers trailing at 6-2. First pitch, that one is fouled straight back. Just missed that one. Got a piece of it. Trapphagen's first time facing Trent Dewier. Bit of right-handed pitching, left-handed hitting for this matchup here. Trapphagen right on the line of that left-handed batter's box. The 0-1 pitch, high fastball that misses. So the count 1-1. Tynan Shahidi reached on an error. Chris Monroe could not glove a throw from the shortstop Martinez. And then Maddox Mueller reached on an infield bunt single. Maddox Mueller takes off, and that one is just nubbed back, and I think they're going to catch that for a double play.
That is unfortunate.
That is just unbelievably unlucky. Trent Dewier, it was just nubbed off the end of the bat of Tyler Trapphagen, and Dewier had to literally reach out as far as he could to just barely get the leather underneath it. And with Maddox Mueller taking second base, he had absolutely no chance getting back to the first base bag in time. So that is a double play here in the bottom of the sixth inning. And now Cy Probst up here for his first at-bat. He has a runner on third with two away now. Now that's just so unlucky. And I feel like that's been kind of the theme for these Trappers against the Saberdogs all season. First pitch, side props. First pitch swinging, hits it on the line to short, snagged on a bounce, and the throw from Martinez is high. So a run will score, and Cy Props reaches base safely and drives in a run in the process in his first at-bat as a trapper. And so I'm trying to figure out what they're talking about. Now they're pointing at something over there, but that run scores anyway. I think they're trying to figure out whether Props should have got second as well on the throw, but I think they say that one stayed in play. So it is now 6-3. Trappers cut in to that deficit again, back down to a three-run game, and of course, we've got Coach Kieran out there talking with the home plate umpire, and they're going to have a quick meeting now. What do you think this is about?
I think they're wondering if maybe Cy made a move towards second base.
We had one of these earlier this season as well with Colton Yanish in Minot. And they'll, after that quick conversation, they'll say, nope, Cy is all good. So he comes through in his first at-bat as a trapper and just puts one in play and able to run it out, even though it was an errant throw from Martinez that allowed for a run to score. And so now let's get back to the action after some conversations from Coach Kieran with the home plate umpire. And Coach Jamie before the game was saying, you know, there's no need for any manager to overmanage or try and take control of the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to keep it going. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. Connor Bendek back up there. He had a base hit in his last at-bat. 6-3 the score. Trappers trailing it here in the bottom of the sixth. Two outs, runner on first. First pitch swinging. Fastball comes up empty. So the count 0-1. Trent Duyer has given up two earned runs. That third run that just scored was not earned. The 0-1. That one misses just outside. So the count 1-1. So from Trent Duyer, you had two at-bats against him. What stuff, like what's his stuff looking like when you're up there at the plate?
He's a good pitcher. You know, he's got, you know, he's tough to hit because
1-1 hit on the ground to third, fielded on a hop, and just a throw to second is in time. Barlow gloves it for out number three. That's a fielder's choice ground out to end the inning. Go ahead and finish what you were about to say.
You know, he's got he's very rhythm. So he's got kind of like a rock. And it almost like lulls you to sleep. And then, you know, the fastball is probably upper 80s, maybe touching a 9 every now and then. You know, so it's almost like he's lulling you to sleep and then bam, it's, you know, it's quick and it gets on you quick. But he's a good pitcher. He's got a good slider. You know, the hit I got off of him, I just kind of ambushed him on a fastball. I figured he wouldn't throw two sliders back-to-back, and then, you know, he's a good pitcher. He's tough to hit.
We'll take a quick break and head to the top of the seventh. Carson, you going to keep the headset on? You're just going to watch
I'll go,
here
I'll go
the rest
one
of
morning.
It?
Yeah, I'll okay. go one morning.
Okay, we'll keep it with Carson here. We have Jack Van Camp, who will be on the mound for the Trappers. When we come back here, 6-3, the score is Saber Dogs leading it over your Trappers as we go to the top of the seventh on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Experience the Outpost Lodge overlooking the Cow Creek Bay on Lake Oahe, just 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804. Come and enjoy fine dining in the unique atmosphere of the lodge at the Lakefront Steakhouse. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Specializing in steaks and barbecue ribs, serving locally raised Cowan Ranch beef. For your next meal, head to the Outpost Lodge, 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804.
Welcome back into Hyde Stadium for the top of the seventh inning. 6-3 our score. The Saberdogs leading it over the Pier Trappers. This is a song that I know on our Name That Tune. We got Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake. So I think I'm now 8 or 9 and 1, 9 and 2.
On the year?
On this in this game.
Oh,
we do
game.
It. So
okay.
We do this. This is a new thing we started doing for, I believe, game 3. of our four-game series in Bancroft. Okay. We only were able to get it started just a few days ago.
Okay.
And so we do it between every half inning when we come back from a break. Right. She plays some sort of song, and we see if I can name it.
Gotcha.
Yesterday, I had a pretty good day. Yesterday, I think I was 15-2.
Okay. That's not bad. Not bad at all.
Jack Van Camp on the mound here, typically a starting pitcher for the Trappers, but all hands on deck in this championship series. And so typically kind of as you see at every level of baseball when you're in a championship situation, your starters are not always starters. Sometimes they come out of the pen. So the Trappers' hometown left-hander will be out of the pen here for the top of the seventh.
That's another good pitcher we got here.
Face Ben Newbert first, and that one just misses outside. Jack Van Camp is also one of those guys kind of similar to Casey. You know, his early innings of his starts are when he tends to get rocked the most, but then once he settles into a groove, it is smooth sailing. And that one missed, I think, just below the knees, I suppose. So the count 2-0. Jack Van Camp. You've caught Jack before, right?
Yeah, I think I've caught every one of Jack's starts here.
2-0 pitch, that misses for ball three. So what's your overall prognosis on Jack Van Camp?
You know, I think he's a junior college guy. He's got some room to grow. You know, he's a good pitcher, he's got good stuff.
3-0 pitch, that's down Broadway.
You know, when his stuff is on, he's really good. That first series he threw was against the Roosters, and he might have gone
six innings, four hits, no earned runs.
Yeah, he did.
3-1
really well.
Pitch, and there's a called strike two. Newbert thought it was ball four.
Broadway was a bit high there.
Sometimes you got to take what is given to you and hope that the game evens back out in your favor.
Yeah.
The payoff pitch is fouled straight back. Van Camp has faced the Saberdogs one time before tonight. It was on June 9th, and he went 7 innings, gave up 10 earned runs on 16 hits. That was one of those where he was pitching for as long as he possibly could as that one's fouled off, so the count remains 3-2.
Yeah, that might have been a situation where maybe we were a little short on arms and kind of had to have him.
He threw 121 pitches in that game as well.
That's a lot of pitches. Right?
Talk about a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
Lewis Manning
last
night, 151.
Yeah, that's a lot.
He was lights out as well. 3-2 pitch, misses just outside for ball four. So there's a leadoff walk to Ben Newbert. I'll bring up Jake Barlow. In your eyes, who is the best hitter in this Saberdogs lineup? Is it Paleo?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they're all very good hitters. Or is this Jake Barlow hitting right now? Jake Barlow is also very good.
He's
very
one of those guys. You know, I've tried to get this message across here, especially during these two games. A lot of the guys on the Trappers have a ton of respect for Jake Barlow as there's a called strike. And people, even I've heard some, like Noah McCreary, even go as far as to say, yeah, in my eyes, Barlow is the best hitter on their team.
I mean, I can't bash a single Saber Dogs player. I mean, they are all very, very good baseball players. But I think
a one pitch,
you know,
this is in the dirt, it's the count,
Jake,
1-1.
Jake Barlow, you know, he doesn't chase very often, as you can see right there. You know, I think it's probably a change up there, down. And he doesn't chase, and you know, if you miss your spot, you know, you miss middle, he's gonna make you pay. I don't know how many home runs he has.
One pitch hit on the ground to third, just foul. Hunter Brown made a fantastic scoop over there at third, but ultimately did not matter.
You know how many home runs Jake has on the year?
Six.
Yeah, I mean,
he has a grand slam.
Yeah.
Against the Trappers in Minot.
I remember that. I was catching that game. You know, Jake is a very good, I mean, they're all good hitters. Chris Monroe is a very good hitter. Who's DH, and I always forget his name.
Newbert
is very good.
He's on first right now after a leadoff walk.
Yeah, Newbert's very good. Blyo's very good. Yeah, they're
1-2 pitch.
See, like
maybe a changeup.
It's a changeup there.
Missed outside. You know, one thing that I feel like I've gotten pretty good at over the course of this season, being able to identify what pitch a pitcher is throwing.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that.
It is, especially from, I mean,
from this angle.
Yeah, 100 some feet away.
The one that's the hardest for me to differentiate as a 2-2 pitch is nubbed foul straight back into the seats, heads up over there. the hardest two pitches for me to differentiate are a slider and a curveball.
Yeah, I mean, those are even hard from the dugout. You know, because some guys, sliders will move more like a curveball. So it's really got to read the seams.
And there's some guys who throw both.
Yep. Yeah, usually the curveball is going to be a little bit slower.
Yeah.
But, again, that's hard to tell from up here. So
2 and 2 the count. And the pitch. Misses high for ball three. Up over the script lettering of the Sabre Dogs. Powder blue jerseys they're wearing. A much better uniform combination tonight for the Sabre Dogs. I didn't think that red and the blue combo worked out too well.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of those last night, but
payoff pitch, and that misses outside ball four. So back-to-back walks from Jack Van Camp to start out this top of the seventh. Now we'll have to see if he can rein it back in here. It's like I was just mentioning, you know, when he first got out there on the mound, he has typically, when he has control issues, it is early on in his first couple of innings
and
out there.
That's a lot of guys on the Trappers. You know, Casey's like that. You know, if Casey struggles with command, it's usually early on in the game, and then he'll kind of lock it in towards the end, and Jack is like that too.
Illinois
up here?
It is Delgado.
Delgado.
It's a Delgado.
He's a good catcher.
He gets hit by pitch a lot.
Yeah, he stands pretty close to the plate.
Almost inviting it.
Yeah, but, you know, helps on base percentage anyway, on, right?
He's been hit 10 times this season.
A lot. I think I've only been hit once.
What game was that?
My first at bat.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, welcome to the Trappers.
Yeah,
right,
welcome.
Right in the back.
1-0 pitch, and that misses high for ball two. So when, as a catcher, do you decide to go out and have a chat with your pitcher?
It's usually if I can see, you know, they're getting tired, or like when I went out to talk to Casey, we had just been out there for a little bit, and I really didn't say much. You know, a lot of times you don't have to say anything at all. They already know. It's almost
to a pitch. There's a swinging strike one.
It's almost like you know, just kind of give them a break. You know, if you're out there for a little bit, you go out there, and I'll just stand there and I won't say anything to them. Just give them a bit of a breather. You know, and there's some stuff like, I'm not a pitching coach, but if I can see
2-1 pitch, now it's fouled straight back, so the count even at 2-2.
If I can see like they're, you know, they're flying open a little bit, I'll go and, you know, tell them, hey, you know, you're flying open a little bit, or sometimes it'll be, what do you want to throw here? Why do you want to throw it? You know, stuff like that. So sometimes it's strategy, and then sometimes it's just, you know, give them a bit of a breather.
So Ben Neubert on second. Jake Barlow on first, 2-2 the count, and the pitch misses outside for ball three. Seems like Jack is just missing outside
a little bit.
Maybe opening up on that arm side a little too much.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure he's a little worried about missing middle, but the Sabre Dogs are all, you know.
So we have a 3-2 count, and ball four here would mean bases loaded, nobody out. And the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It was a high fastball. Blew it right by him. So there is out number one instead. And so the bases remain with the runners on first and second. That will bring up Bradley Harmon. This is a big dude. And we're going to see the fact that we're going to see him as a switch hitter now. Swinging it from the right side, whereas he was swinging it from that left side. While Casey Kosheva was in there, facing now a left-hander in Jack Van Camp, he'll swing it from the right. I have no idea whether he has more power from the left or the right. I guess that's yet to be determined. First pitch. That one runs just high, I believe. So the count 1-0.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that pitch is at.
It's hard to tell from up here, right? You can't exactly tell. You can't tell if it's high, maybe if it's a bit outside.
Yeah.
1-0 the count, one out. Top of the seventh. 6-3, Sabre Dogs leading it over the Trappers. And the pitch, that one is nubbed, just foul straight back. Just the count, 1-1. You've been down there in the dugout up until, obviously, the ejection. Do the guys ever get those Snapchat glasses working, or they give up?
I think Parker was wearing them. I'm not sure if they were working. And then Tynan was wearing them pregame, but I'm not sure if they were working at all. Those are the Snapchat spectacles.
Yeah, the
or whatever,
spectacles.
Yeah.
We finally are able to bust them out for the first time here in this game. 1-1 pitch. Goes change up there, and it misses low and outside, so it's a count 2-1.
I like that pitch call by side there. It's good.
Low and outside, maybe try and roll them over.
Yeah, 1-1 here. That's a good pitch call.
So 2-1 the count now. Van Camp working from the stretch and the pitch. Swing and a miss. Was that a slider?
Yeah.
Disappearing slider?
Yeah.
It's a good pitch to throw lefty-righty.
Yeah. Yeah, those are, for me, that's probably the toughest pitch to hit.
I remember you saying that, actually, when you were up with me in Minot.
Yep, yeah, because, you know, it comes out of the hand, and it's immediately ball. Because it looks like, it, you know, it's in the other batter's box, and then all of a sudden it's right on the corner. You got to try to fight it off.
The 2-2 pitch bounces that one in the dirt, so the count now full 3-2. Once again, a full count. Once again, Jack Van Camp needing to battle. He has thrown 25 pitches here in this inning.
One down.
One away. Two runners aboard. They're on first and second. One out. 3-2 the count. And the payoff pitch hit on the ground to third. Scooped up by Hunter Brown, who tags third and throws across the diamond in time. That is a
great
5-3 double play. Hunter Brown showing off that fancy glove work once again.
You got a good arm.
And that ends the inning. So even after allowing the first two base runners to reach safely, Jack Van Camp, with a little bit of help from his defense, able to get out of that top of the seventh.
Yeah.
And so now what we will do, per our typical tradition, we'll keep it here for the break and allow for us to hear John Hunt take us through that, take me out to the ball game. Again, though, we're about to have Happy Birthday sung before that. So we'll talk over the Happy Birthday. But once we have that seventh inning stretch, take me out to the ball game, then we'll be quiet. 6-3. And, you know, as of right now, the Trapper's actually out-hitting the Saber Dogs. I know that maybe it was a bit marginal calling a couple of those hits as hits in that bottom of the sixth inning.
Yeah.
Where the first couple of guys reached. Could have been errors. I don't know. I don't score the games anymore, so it's not really my call. Trent Duyer is back out there once again. He will be throwing his 88th pitch once we are going. And I'll shut up now for the seventh inning stretch. You know what John told me after last night's game? Mm-hmm. He said that he has been in some cover bands over the years as a singer. You can kind of hear it, you know? He's got a pretty good voice. He's got a pretty good voice. He's a man who thrives on entertainment. I once made the comparison that if you heard him singing in a Vegas lounge, you wouldn't think anything of it.
No, probably not.
Lose a couple $1,000 and come back and hear John Hunt singing to you in the lobby. Why not? Jackson Nix will lead off this bottom of the seventh, 6-3. The score, the Saberdogs leading it here in game two of our best of five Expedition League Championship Series. First pitch of the inning, swing and a miss. Looked like maybe changed up the speeds on it a little bit. Nix was expecting a fastball, as you could tell by that swing. So the count 0-1. Nix 0-3 in this game with a strikeout. The 0-1 pitch misses low and outside, so the count now 1-1. Nix was pretty hot at the plate entering this series.
Yeah.
The 1-1, right down Broadway for a called strike two. During that final game in Bancroft, though, when the team had just those two runs on three hits, Nix went 0-4 in that one. 1-2, swung on and foul tipped into the catcher's mitt of Delgado for strike three. So there's one away in the bottom of the seventh. Well, wait, hold on a second. Yep, no, that's what it's going to be. Jackson just kind of stood there for a second. Took a few extra swings before walking back to the dugout. So that is a strikeout for Trent Duyer. That is his seventh strikeout of the game. So that brings up Hunter Brown. He is 1-for-3. Scored a run. Back on that 2-RBI triple down the line from Noah McCreary. The Trappers were trailing in this one 5-0, going to the bottom of the fourth as the first pitch is in there on the fastball for a called strike. But since then, the Trappers have outscored the Sabre Dogs 3-1 over the last 2.5 innings.
I'd like to apologize to my mom.
Pitch, high fastball misses.
She's watching the stream. She's not happy with me.
Really?
Yeah.
So the count 0-2 after that swing and a miss. Not happy with you for getting ejected?
Yeah. She said, not a proud mom over. Sorry, mom.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
How do you respond from that?
I just said, I'm sorry.
That's fair. Right. You know,
she still loves me.
Oh, of course.
I hope so, at least, right?
The 0-2, and that one misses inside. If all it took was an ejection, then that would have been a little bit concerning.
Yeah.
No. Shout out to Carson's mom for watching the live stream. 1-2 the count. And the pitch goes slider on that one.
Yep.
And misses low and outside. So the count 2-2. The Trappers quickly here down to their final 8 outs. Trailing by 3. The 2-2 pitch. Hunter Brown lines it into center field. Will that drop? It will not. Hunter Brown cannot buy a hit even if he tried.
Yeah, he barrels everything. He hits the ball so hard.
That makes it all the more frustrating, too.
And he...
All you can do is just smile and walk back to the dugout like he's doing right now. Another line out, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what his hard hit percentages, but it's got to be.
He leads. Insane. He's second on the team in hard hit balls behind Will Hoke, who is also really unlucky.
That's also like another situation where he just can't buy one, and it's they don't strike out very often, but
brings up Noah McCreary with two away. First pitch swinging, and that one's hit in the air to right field. Will it get over the head of Delanoy? No, it will not. Delanoy taking some steps straight back near the warning track in straightaway right field and makes the overhanded catch. So the Trappers go down in order in the bottom of the seventh inning. He's going to hang out and just watch these last 2 innings.
I might hop on here in a little bit. I'm going to get some of the drink out of the bathroom.
Sounds great. Appreciate that. We'll take a quick break and head to the eighth inning. 6-3, Sabre Dogs leading it here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Why am I so sore? There are everyday moments.
Hey, hold the ladder! Hold the ladder!
Yeah, that hurt.
And there are epic moments.
Collins! Class of 1995!
When a moment creates a health need, visit the experts at Avera Orthopedics. We're moving health forward so you can tell the story. Learn more at avera.org/orthopedics.
Long summer days means lots of time to get work done. Is your mower ready? At Darren Boyle Sales, I have new 6, 7, 8, 10, and 12-foot Bush Hog mowers on hand. Plus, I have a new Bush Hog 9-foot disc mower, a Bush Hog 12-wheel rake, and a Bush Hog 8-foot mounted blade on hand priced to sell. If you're on the market for farm equipment of any kind, give me a call at 222-0317. Like the Darren Boyle Sales Facebook page or shop online anytime at DarrenBoyleSales.com.
Welcome back in here to Hyde Stadium. We've got some Iris playing for us by Udals. Top of the eighth inning, 6-3, our score. Sabre Dogs leading it over your Pier Trappers here in game 2 of our best of 5 championship series. Nick Blessing is out there on the mound, and it is a fantastic sign to see Nick Blessing out there on the hill. This is his first time appearing in a game since June 11th when he exited his start he had against the North Iowa Rage and Roosters with some soreness in his right side, and he had to ultimately sit out these last couple of weeks to rest up and get back to 100%. Said that he wanted to try and come back and at least pitch one more time before this season comes to an end, and he is getting to do so here. In the top of the eighth, he will face Eddie Martinez to lead off this top of the eighth inning. The Trappers trailing at 6-3. And so I'm reading my YouTube live stream comments from Sam Lopez. I see your question, and I'm actually going to I just texted my GM, John Hunt, to tell him to come up here and see if he can answer that question for you. We'll see if he has some time to come up here. I for sure will have an answer by the end of this broadcast. There's a called strike on a high fastball to Martinez. And here he comes right now. John, we've got a question for you from our live stream. As the count is 0-1, and the pitch misses high. So here, you can go ahead. Woo. You can go ahead and read that, John. Thanks for coming up here.
All right, I'm still catching my breath. Because,
hey, you're good. You're good. Here, we'll give you a second to catch your breath. And
throwing goodies out to the fans.
Yes, no, without a doubt.
Switch glasses from the sunglasses.
So you can read that, and then you can try and answer that the best that you can. 1-1 the count. The right-hander, Nick Blessing, and the pitch. That one is fouled straight back.
We can comment on that question after the season is over. I do know that anybody who needs to be taken care of is going to be taken care of, but we will not be handling that until the season is over.
Gotcha.
We have to do it through our ticket return group. It does not have anything to do with the league or the individual teams.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. I just know they were curious, so I wanted to try and give them whatever answer we had. The 1-2 bounces, so the count now 2-2. So there you go for Sam Lopez. That is the only information that I know or that any of us know for right now.
Right, and there is some fake news out there. There's no question. People who purchase tickets are going to be taken care of. It takes some time going through ticket return to get it done.
Gotcha.
Before it can happen. So it will be handled as soon as the season is officially over within 2 weeks.
Okay. Sounds great. 2-2 the count. Nick Blessing and the pitch misses in the dirt. What have been your thoughts here of this game so far, John?
You know, our guys still fighting tough. We've had a couple of opportunities to get things done. It's still a 6-3 ball game, and the Trappers have a penchant for coming from behind late in games. We've seen it a number of times this year. We saw an 8-run comeback just a couple of weeks ago, so anything can happen.
Just got to stay in the game. Nick Blessing, good to see him out there for the first time in almost a month. Payoff pitch misses in the dirt for ball four. Without a doubt, we'll need some time to readjust and get back in the action, in that game action.
It is good to see Nick back out there.
When you take some time off, you kind of have to refine your groove a little bit.
Exactly. And again, you know, I know there was a lot of talk before this series that it was going to be a blowout, that every game was going to be a 10-run rule win in 7 innings or, you know, 8 innings, and we haven't seen that at all in this series. Every game has been close. So far, the first game went 9. Looks like we're going that direction in this ball game.
First pitch to Eric Martinez is a called strike, and you know, that's just kind of the name of postseason baseball. You know, you can kind of throw the regular season out the wayside. You can throw the record. You can throw the stats out. You know, it's just one of those things. It's a new season. Pick over to first for Blessing. Not in time. A good idea, though.
Exactly. And I tell you what, that's exactly what it is. It's postseason ball. I know a lot of late season adjustments have been made, by the Saberdogs, you know, lose a couple guys, pick up a couple guys, and they just stayed strong.
A 1-pitch, that is called strike 2 as well. So the count 0-2 to the number 9 hitter, Eric Martinez. So
that team doesn't have to rebuild ever. They just retool.
Yep.
They lose 3 guys, they go get 3 guys, you know, in their 7th year of college eligibility or, that kind of thing. So it's fun to watch these guys, that's for sure.
Pick over to first is not in time, so checking on his base runners over there at first.
And the age difference between the two teams, I think maybe you've talked about this.
Yes.
We have one player that's 23 years of age, no one older at all on this team. So the
pitch.
Trappers
just missed outside. It looked pretty good, but did not get the call. You hear the groans of the home crowd on that one.
But considering that our guys are 18 to 22 years of age, they're hanging tough with a, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, more powerful Saber Dogs team. And I will take the fight of our trappers any day of the week.
1-2, that looked pretty good, too. And again, did not get the call. You saw some frustration a few innings ago from Carson Trumpolt when he was ejected back in the bottom of the fifth inning. And so he was up here with me, actually, for two innings time, just talk some things over. The 2-2, and there's a called strike three, maybe a bit of a makeup call. That one did not look any closer than the past two ball calls. But you know what? If you're Nick Blessing, you will absolutely take that called strike three, his first strikeout here of the night and the first one that he has had since June 11th.
And Michael Kieran is over there on his knees, hat off, yelling at the umpires from the third base coaches box. He's had a couple of discussions over different plays today.
He's one of those coaches, from what you can see, is that one misses up and outside.
And he throws his hands up in the air again.
He's one of those guys, one of those coaches that is very involved, very emotional with the game. Runner on first, one away here. The 1-0 pitch goes change up and it misses outside. John, do you want to do something that you haven't done in a while? You
want to? What is that? Oh, you want me to do the legal ID?
You want to do the legal ID?
Driven by the Office of Highway Safety, River 92.7 KGFX FM Pier. Trust your captain, but keep your seatbelt securely fastened. And there's a drive to the first base side. Peraza goes to second, and it's thrown away into the outfield. And the runner will head to third base on the error by Peraza.
So I guess that's our sign that we shouldn't have you do the legal ID anymore.
Well, I got to call the play.
It happens, and then we get that ball thrown away from Peraza. It looked like it might have been a double play. Instead, it's a throwing error, and now runners are on the corners with still just one away. 6-3, the score remains. Brings up Hunter Delanoy. Delanoy is 0-3 in this game, but does have a sacrifice RBI groundout. It's actually a sacrifice fly, not a ground out. Martinez on third. Paleo on first. Wouldn't be surprised to try and see Paleo swipe a bag here, and I think Nick Blessing was thinking the exact same thing, and that's why he picked over to first.
Well, here's what you expect out of these guys from what I've seen all year long. You expect the runner to go because there's a runner on third. They're going to try the double steal. They're going to try to get the catcher to make the throw to second. Sometimes you get baited into that. A little bit later into a game, you get excited and you make that throw where you should probably eat it and not allow that runner to come home.
So that one missed outside, so the count 1-0 here. Hunter Delanoy, number two hitter in the lineup. And the pitch hit on the ground to first. Peraza has a chance again to turn two. The third second in time and first.
There's
and that
two.
Is also in time. So there you go. Peraza gets his redemption opportunity after throwing that first one away. Gets pretty much the exact same ground ball.
And Kieran is going out there.
He
is going out there to have a talk with the umpire. He doesn't know which one he wants to go after, whether he wants to go after the home plate umpire or he wants to go after the second base umpire. So the discussion continues now with the home plate umpire.
He's just, like I said, he's just very involved. He likes to...
He's an intense guy. There's no question.
He loves to win. He is very competitive and sometimes to the point where, like, you see what happens now where he's wanting to get involved in chat. And I think he may have thought that either that throw to first was not in time or it pulled him off the bag. But either way, it'll end the inning. Trent Duhier is coming back out onto the mound for the bottom of the eighth inning. We'll head to a quick break. 6-3, the score. The Saber Dogs leading it over the Trappers here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Tokyo Japanese Cuisine prepares authentic Japanese fare, including hibachi and delicious sushi. Conveniently located in the Northridge Plaza, Tokyo is a great choice for eat-in or takeout in the pier area. Tokyo Japanese Cuisine is known for its variety in taste and high-quality fresh ingredients. They're open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 9 on Sundays. For carryout orders, call Tokyo Japanese Cuisine at 605-494-3388.
When you're ready to wash your car, head to Classic Car Wash on Wells and Pier. Use any of their four wash bays with card processing for your convenience. And features like spot-free rinse and the best vacs in town. Needing to wash your boat? Use the easy access outside bay. Keep your car looking sharp. with Classic Car Wash on Wells Avenue in Pier.
Back into Hyde Stadium for the bottom of the eighth. 6-3, the Saberdogs leading it over your Pier Trappers here on River 92.7 on the YouTube Live as well. This is game two of our best of five league championship series. Ryan Breeden back here running a solo show. I had John Hunt up for a couple of outs to answer some questions from our live stream and just chat about whatever he felt like chatting about. Anthony Barraza will lead off this bottom of the eighth inning, and the Trappers quickly down to their final six outs here. They need at least three runs to try and tie this or maybe take a lead. Barraza has gone down on strikes one time tonight. He is 0 for 3. First pitch, that's a called strike. And so I was also mistaken as well on the fact that Trent Duhier was going to come back out for the eighth. He is not back out there for the eighth. His night is over. So that means Brett Laura is in there. He throws absolute heat. There's a called strike two to Barraza. I'm trying to remember what Ty Barrett said to me earlier in the game with what Brett Laura's nickname is. I remember he said that he has one. He's a very good pitcher as well. He's actually college teammates with Luis Paleo and Will Hoke. 0-2, check swing. Did he go around? The appeal down, and they say no, he did not. So the count 1-2 to the Trappers' first baseman, Anthony Barraza. Tynan Shahidi, actually Jacob Griffin on deck, pinch hitting for Tynan Shahidi. 1-2, swing and a miss, strike three. Changed up the speeds on him. Dropped the changeup low and away and got him swinging out in front. So Barraza goes down on strikes for the second time here in this game. And there is now one away in the bottom of inning number eight. It brings up Jacob Griffin. Pinch hitting for the first time here in this one. He actually has the most hits of any Trapper against the Saberdogs this season with seven. First pitch, misses in the dirt. So the count 1-0. And Griffin last night was responsible for giving Saberdogs ace Thomas Gutierrez his first earned run of the season. 1-0 pitch, swing and a miss, change up in the dirt. So the count now 1-1, one away, bottom of inning number eight. Saberdogs 6, Trappers 3. The 1-1 pitch from Laura. Now it misses in the dirt as well. Griffin swinging it from the left side. Ottawa University in Arizona, where he goes to school, the 2-1. That's in the dirt as well. So four pitches and four misses low from Brett Laura. He was able to get a swing out of Jacob Griffin on one of those. That is why we are in a 3-1 count. The 3-1. There's a miss outside for ball four. Laura thought he had strike two. Did not get that outside fastball. So there is a one-out walk from Jacob Griffin, and that will bring up Maddox Mueller as a 148 batting average against the Saberdogs this season. He is 1-for-2 here in this one. He had that bunt single down that third base line in his last at-bat. Laura, first pitch, in the dirt again. Bounced off the shoulder of Maddox Mueller after bouncing in the dirt. And now Delgado will go out and chat with Brett Laura after some consecutive misses low in the zone. So Laura here trying to probably record the final six outs He was able to pick up that first one on a strikeout of Anthony Barraza. Laura here has pitched 23 innings so far this summer, and he has given up just 6 earned runs. This is his third time facing the Trappers. 1-0 pitch after the mound visit, and that is a strike in there around thigh height. Just count 1-1. Laura actually started a game on June 21st against the Trappers where he went 7 innings and gave up 2 earned runs on 4 hits. The 1-1 bounces for ball 2. So Laura been just a tad wild here. In his first inning, we've got some action out in the SaberDogs bullpen. Looks like it might be Ozuna. That one is fouled back. So the count 2-2. If Mueller was able to reach base safely here, it would bring the tying run to the plate. And it's Tyler Trapphagen. So Maddox Mueller, after calling time, steps in there. Laura working from the stretch. But Jacob Griffin on first. The 2-2 swing and a miss. Strike 3. Went with a changeup. Low and away. Mueller did not really have a chance at making contact on that one, so he goes down on strikes for the second time tonight and the 20th time this season against the SaberDogs in 12 games. And so the Trappers now down to their final 4 outs. Tyler Trapphagen, he got very unlucky in his last at-bat and lined into a double play right back to the pitcher. Trapphagen 0 for 3 tonight. First pitch, half swing. Did he go around the appeal down? They say no, he did not. So it is ball 1. So 1-0 the count. 2 outs, bottom of the 8th. SaberDogs leading at 6-3. If they can pull out this game 2 victory, they will be ahead in the series 2-0 and need just one more win to secure an Expedition League title. 1-0, right down Broadway, taken for strike 1. The count now 1-1. Trapphagen has blended very well with this Trappers team, even though he's been here for the least amount of time of any Trapper. The 1-1 misses low, so the count 2-1. He's batting over 350. Already has double-digit hits. The 2-1. That one runs outside for ball 3. 3-1 the count. Cy Probst is on deck. And he had an RBI in his first ever at-bat as a Trapper. 3-1. Misses for ball 4. So here you go, Cy Probst. You know, I guess I kind of contradicted myself a little bit when I said Tyler Trapphagen is the most recent Trapper to join the team. It's kind of true, but it's kind of some extraneous circumstances as to why Cy Probst is even here. Joined the Trappers after the Roosters folded out after last weekend's series between the Trappers and the Roosters. And Cy was like, you know what? I'm not ready to be done yet. I want as many reps as I can get. He is getting opportunities here in his first game with the team. And he's in a big spot representing the tying run here in the bottom of the 8th with 2 outs. First pitch, right down Broadway with that fastball. So the count 0-1. Last night, the Trappers brought the tying run to the plate in the bottom of the 8th with 2 outs. And they ground it out to second to end the inning. Let's see if they can change those fortunes around here tonight. The 0-1. Swing and a miss. Strike 2. Changed up on him there. Props was sitting fastball all the way. And I think that Brett Laura knew that. And probably still does know that. 0-2, two outs, two runners aboard, tying run at the plate. It's a big at-bat here for the Trappers. Laura looking in, just needs one more strike to get out of this eighth inning. And the pitch. Misses below the knees, a good take there from Cy Probst. Connor Bendek is on deck, awaiting to see if he will get an opportunity. But first, Cy Probst needs to battle. Down on the count, 1-2. Two outs, bottom of the eighth. And the pitch. That one is just poked to the right side, foul. So we will do it again. Last night, the SaberDogs won game one, 6-2. This game, 6-3 right now. The 1-2 pitch misses upstairs, so the count now even at 2-2. Laura has thrown 24 pitches here in this bottom of the eighth inning. Trent Duyer went seven innings, gave up seven hits and two earned runs. The 2-2, and it's a called strike three. On the inside part of the plate, again, Coach Jamie Habiger did not like that one. You saw the visible reaction there in that third base coaching box. So Cy Probst goes down looking to end the eighth inning. So the Trappers strand that tying run there at the plate. And we will go to the ninth. Nick Blessing will come back out, and he needs to pitch a zero in the ninth to give the Trappers a chance to rally in the bottom half of the ninth. We'll take a quick break. 6-3, the score. SaberDogs leading it here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Oahu Days used to be just another weekend in July until someone had the brilliant idea to make buffalo chip throwing a competitive sport. There used to be no banks in South Dakota until First Dakota filed the first charter in 1872. Every thriving business and tradition, including buffalo chip throwing, was started somewhere by someone who had a dream and the passion to make it happen first. What will be your South Dakota first? Visit firstdakota.com/first. Member FDIC.
The Crossing Inn Pier is a must-stop for ice-cold beverages and a relaxed atmosphere. They have 16 beers on tap. Many of them are from breweries all around South Dakota. And with a full liquor selection, they can mix up the drink you are looking for. Their staff is ready to serve you and your friends. Like them on Facebook to get information about drink specials and event information. Stop on down to the Crossing, located at 115 East Pleasant Drive, right next to the corner station.
Great time to bring out Bittersweet Symphony from my producer Heather Williams on our Name That Tune. Heading to the top of the ninth, 6-3 our score. The SaberDogs leading it over your Pier Trappers. Nick Blessing back out on the mound. Ryan Breed in here. I've got Jackson back with me again. And Jackson, I still do not remember your last name. Yeah. Oh, here, I had you muted too. My gosh, I'm just a horrible guest.
Yeah.
There you go.
My last name is Brown. I'm just kidding.
I'm saying, no, it's not. It starts with a B, but I know it's not that.
Bruce.
Yep, that's it.
You'll get it.
Grazes the left arm of Chris Monroe, so he reaches safely on a hit-by-pitch to start out the inning. I will bring up Ben Neubert. And to answer a quick question from Jeff Butts, who I assume is probably a dad, I don't know, relation to Reed, saying that Reed Butts is going to play with the Madison Mallards in the Northwoods. Congrats to Reed for being able to go to the Northwoods to finish out this season. But for Jeff asking me where some of these Trappers are going to play out the rest of the summer, some of the guys don't know yet. There's a few that are going to the Independence League. I know that Eric Lindbergh is going to a team in Montana. First pitch, off speed, misses low and inside. There's also some guys like Jacob Griffin and Will Hoke and Trevor Seagraves and Maddox Mueller that, from what it at least has been impressioned on with me, they're just going to go home and just enjoy the rest of their summers. That one is fouled straight back, so the count 1-1. I will try and ask around tomorrow with some of the guys and see what I can figure out. and whatever I do figure out, I can try and relay back here. But that is what I know for now, Mr. Jeff.
Madison's a good market to go into.
100%. 1-1 pitch that's roped into right field, and McCreary on the move, and that one ranges over his head. That's extra base. Is a bit of a misstep from McCreary, and actually, no, it's not extra bases. And a throw back to first, and they've got Newbert in time. So Chris Monroe initially had to hesitate and wait to see if that ball would get down, and it did. So he only was able to advance one base. And as a result, they had Newbert out to dry there at first, and so he was picked back off trying to get back to the bag.
Yeah, and I saw Coach Kieran over there throwing his helmet. He's not too happy right now. I don't know if it's with the call or with the play.
I assume it's the play.
I sure hope so.
I think it's the
play. That was a great call by Tyler Nally.
If it was the call, I think he'd be out there talking to him.
Yeah.
But I think it's the play.
He was upset.
Yeah.
He was upset.
Here's up Jake Barlow. First pitch called a strike. I talked about the emotion that Coach Kieran shows when he is out there in that third base coach's box. He's one of those that he has a clear passion for the game, as that one is skied out into straightaway center field. Maddox Mueller camps under that and makes the catch for out number two. So two down now here in the top of the ninth. Runner on second. Brings up Seth Delgado. You got to tell me what jersey you're wearing right now, Jackson.
I got my East River jersey from the 2019 season. We played the Spearfish Sasquatch. They wore West River jerseys.
Okay.
Because there's a little rivalry in South Dakota between East River and West River. We each did an East River, West River night. We wore ours. We wore them here once and wore them there once, and then we auctioned them off.
So how did it go in those games?
If I remember right, it went 1-1. And
okay.
I think it was actually we won on the road, they won on the road.
So kind of taking the other team's territory.
First
pitch to Seth Delgado is in there for a called strike one. The count now 0-1. Delgado is 1-for-4 in this game. And the 0-1 pitch goes off speed, taken in the dirt. 7 hits here so far for the Saberdogs, and it's actually come from all of the 7 hitters beyond the 1-2 spot. The two guys you'd expect the most to have hits in this game, Luis Paleo, who went 3-for-4 last night with those 2 home runs, and then Hunter Delanoy, who leads the league in average. Neither one of them has a hit.
Batting crown, how close is the batting title right now?
Is he losing? There's a called strike 2.
Is he losing a little ground here? Is he in danger of losing his batting title?
I think that he's pretty firmly up there.
Okay.
If he were to have another 0-for-4 game tomorrow, then potentially.
Okay.
But he is pretty well cemented there with that number one for the batting average. The 1-2, and that one skips away from side props and allows for Monroe to take third. That could be significant if we see another passed ball or a base hit, of course. But
of course.
So the count 2-2, 2 outs, top of the ninth. Saberdogs 6, Trappers 3. Nick Blessing needs this final out here, and then the offense needs to put up at least 3 to try and tie this thing up. It's been a pretty good day today for baseball.
Yes, it's been a beautiful night. It's been a fun game to watch. Pretty fundamentally sound, too, overall.
And the pitch, that one is popped straight back out of play. Last night was a good game. Tonight we have another good game. The Trappers showing, you know, that team growth from the young guys. They got run ruled their first 3 times they played the Saberdogs and lost by about 400 runs combined in those games. And you see where they're at now. The 2-2, and that one has popped up high on the infield. Hunter Brown at third, ranging near that foul ground third baseline. And he is there to make the catch for out number 3. So Nick Blessing able to slam the door in the 8th and the 9th. And now, here we go. It's time, bottom of the 9th. Trappers down by 3. What can you do as an offense to try and even this series at 1-1? We will find out when we come back here after this quick break. And we'll have the conclusion of this one here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Tokyo Japanese Cuisine prepares authentic Japanese fare, including hibachi and delicious sushi. Conveniently located in the Northridge Plaza, Tokyo is a great choice for eat-in or take-out in the pier area. Tokyo Japanese Cuisine is known for its variety in taste and high-quality fresh ingredients. They're open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 9 on Sundays. For carry-out orders, call Tokyo Japanese Cuisine at 605-494-3388.
I'm DRG Media Group News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra. Whether you're at home, traveling around the world, or anywhere in between, you can take River 92.7 with you. How, you may ask? Activate the River 92.7 Alexa skill or download the DRGNews.com app, a service of Golden Buffalo Casino. Both are easy to set up, allowing you to enjoy high-quality sound wherever you go. Again, take River 92.7 anywhere you go by enabling the Alexa skill or downloading the DRGNews.com app.
Welcome back in here to the Hyde Stadium. Bottom of the ninth, 6-3. The Saberdogs leading it. The Trappers need three runs to tie. Ryan Breeden here, Jackson Bruce to my right. And that song for our Name That Tune, Kryptonite by Three Doors Down, a pretty good choice.
Oh, that's a fantastic song. I love it.
Let's see if the Trappers can be Marco Ozuna's Kryptonite here. He throws in the mid-90s with that fastball, a flamethrower. He has faced the Trappers one time before, and it was to close out the game on June 23rd. And he struck out two of the four batters that he faced, did not give up any hits or any earned runs, and walked one.
Get the stuff.
He has 17 strikeouts this season to two walks.
Wow.
In his, well, I guess about nine total innings pitched. It will be Connor Bendek to lead things off. The Trappers down to their final three outs here. They'll have a bit of a hill to climb against the right-handed flamethrower, Marco Ozuna. Bendek has a base hit here in this game. We'll see if he can do that again. First pitch of the inning, there's that fastball, but it misses upstairs for ball one. So there you go. Now you see that Marco Ozuna fastball for yourself.
Kid is throwing smoke right now. That first pitch, whew, that was a dart.
1-0 the count from the windup and the pitch. That one misses low and away.
That pop of the glove.
You can hear that on that crowd mic we've got here, too, I believe. You can hear the pop of the mitt.
My goodness.
So I guess that's, you know, you'd think that control would be an issue for Marco Ozuna. But, again, just those two walks on the season, 2-0, and there is a called strike one.
Looks like he took a little off that one.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Just tried to throw a strike. Yeah, took a little off and dropped it down to, what, probably around 91?
Yeah. That's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. 2-1 the count and the pitch. That one's roped to the right side, slicing foul out of play. Hit that one pretty decently, kind of off the end of the barrel, but settles out there in foul ground. So the count now 2-2. The top of the order is awaiting with Jackson Nix on deck. And Ozuna steps off for quickly readdressing. And we'll get set to throw the 2-2. And the pitch bounces in the dirt and skips away for ball three. So we've got a full count here to the leadoff man in the bottom of the ninth. I don't know. I guess the recipe is maybe try and make Ozuna pitchy strikes. Try and just battle in all your at-bats that you can.
That's the thing. If you got one in your zone, go swing at it. But if it's not there, don't worry about it.
We'll see if we see another fastball here, 3-2. I would have to guess that we would. And Ozuna's getting buzzed by some bugs out there on the mound. Yes, we have Mother Nature. I don't know. What do you want to call that?
I don't know, but I saw some little trapper hats on those gnats. Little trapper hats on them.
Love it. We hired them personally. The payoff pitch, and it's a called strike three.
It's looking a little high, but, you know.
Here they're Trapper's dugout having some words for that one. It looked like that off-speed pitch might have been a little bit up and in, but gets the call anyway. So there is out number one from Marco Ozuna. And so the Trappers now down to their final two outs here tonight. It will be Jackson Nix and then Hunter Brown as the final opportunities for the Trappers. You know, I've got to say, Coach Jamie Habiger has so much more poise than I ever would have as a coach.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have not seen him really get too fired
first
up.
First pitch off speed, that lands in there for a called strike one.
Jamie's a pretty easygoing guy from my interactions with him. He's a great guy, easygoing guy. He doesn't get too fired up, but the guys love him. That's a big thing.
0-1 the count and the pitch. There's that fastball pumping in there, catching the outside part of the plate for strike two. Jackson Mix, who is 0-4 with two Ks here in this one, really needs to buckle up and get ready for 95 here. Probably what we'll see 0-2.
He's probably going to throw it out of the zone. We'll see if Jackson goes for it or not.
The 0-2 just attacks him, and it's fouled straight back. So there you see it. There's that fastball, and he was just saying, you know what, here it is, up in the zone, try and hit it.
He is confident in his stuff, man. You gotta hand it to him. You got to hand it to him.
It's kind of like that Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, that is true. He is more confident than some girls on Instagram, I tell you
that. One out here, bottom of the ninth, and the 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss. So follows up that fastball with a nasty snap 12-6 curve. And so Mix goes down on strikes for the third time in five at-bats. And the Trappers now here, Hunter Brown, really need to dig deep down to their final out here in game two. Hunter Brown 1-for-4, but has two lineouts in this game because, of course, he does. He's Hunter Brown. He is unlucky. We know this.
Something's got to drop for him, right?
Right now wouldn't be a bad time.
It would not be a bad time.
First pitch. There's a swing and a miss. There's that fastball. Could not catch up to it. So the count 0-1. It is worth noting the last time Ozuna was out there on the mound, he gave up 4 earned runs on 7 hits, but so far set down these first two batters in order. There's a swing and a miss, strike two, another fastball. And the Trappers now down to their final strike here on this Friday night. The Saberdogs looking to take a 2-0 series lead. Brown steps in. I bet we'll see another fastball right here. Why change it up? The 0-2 pitch. And he does change it up and does not get the call. The Saberdogs started to leak out of their dugout thinking that strike three. But they have to go right back to the railing.
Big premature celebration right there. Yeah. A
little bit.
It happens. It happens.
Just a little. One and two.
I've been premature before, a lot of things.
Yes. Two outs. Bottom of the ninth. Trappers down to their final strike. And the pitch. Chopped to the right side. Fair. Will be a tough play for Ozuna. Bare hands. And the throw to first is not in time. So there you have it. Hunter Brown reaches safely on an infield single. And I already think I know what Hunter Brown is probably saying. He's like, really? The two hard hit balls that I have to second and then to center field are out, and then my little number off the end of the bat is a base hit? Really?
That's the beauty of baseball right there. You know, the odds, you know, they balance out. And somebody upstairs with the baseball guys knew he needed a hit. And you know what? He needed one that wasn't sharply hit. He got it.
Noah McCreary now up there as the final out. He has that two RBI triple back in the bottom of the fifth. First pitch, there's that fastball again. A big uppercut swing comes up empty from McCreary. So the count 0-1. 2-for-4 in this game, those two RBI that I just mentioned, responsible for two of the 8 hits for the Trappers in this one. Ozuna looks in. Seth Delgado, his catcher, giving him a sign. I bet it will be a 1 here, probably a fastball. 0-1, there it is. Swing and a miss, strike 2. Same location. McCreary just... that big undercut, kind of a Cody Bellinger-type swing, came up empty there. So 0-2, the Trappers again down to their final strike. Runner on first, two outs, bottom of the ninth. Saberdogs 6, Trappers 3. Ozuna gets set and delivers the 0-2 pitch. And that's a called strike 3.
That was atrocious.
Catches the inside part of the plate. And so McCreary is rung up to end this game. That's the 13th strikeout from the Trappers lineup here tonight. And so the Trappers fall here in game 2, 6-3, the final score. You could even see Parker Lewis one of the Trappers relief pitchers going out there and screaming at the home plate umpire. The frustration's boiling over, and he's even out there still talking to him right now, and Eric Lindberg is also out there screaming at him. We've got some frustrations that have boiled over completely here in Pierre, South Dakota. The Trappers lose 6-3. And I guess this chaotic ending is pretty much the perfect way for us to send it to a quick commercial break. The Saberdogs lead this series now 2-0, and they need just one more game to clinch a championship. Jackson, thanks for joining me, and that was an interesting ninth inning.
Thank you for having me. I enjoy being on the broadcast with you, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you. Will you be here tomorrow?
I will not. I gotta go join my team in Aberdeen and win some softball championship.
Sounds great. Well, we'll take a quick break. That was Jackson Bruce, Ryan Breeden. I'll be back here for some post-game analysis as well as an interview with Coach Jamie Habiger. But first, we'll pause and take a minute to recollect and come back here for the Trapper Rap post-game on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Pierre Trappers Baseball on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7, has been brought to you by Grey Goose Motors, the Outpost Lodge, Tokyo Japanese Cuisine, the Corner Station in the Crossing, Classic Car Wash, Garen Boyle Sales, Avera St. Mary's Hospital, First Dakota National Bank, and Pierre Regional Airport. Stay tuned. The Trapper postgame show, Trapper Wrap, is next here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
This is John with ERG Media Group. Let's talk about consistent marketing. An occasional marketing strategy just won't work. Consumers don't remember ads, much less products and brands, until they have heard or seen it a minimum of 7 times. Consistency is key, and marketing with ERG Media Group keeps you in front of a large audience, on air, online, and on mobile devices. Our packages include everything you need for a consistent marketing plan that keeps your business visible on multiple platforms. To find out more about our consistent marketing packages, give us a call today at 224-8686.
Trappers game coverage on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7, now continues with Trapper Wrap, a recap of tonight's game. Let's go back to the ballpark.
Welcome into the Trapper Wrap post-game show. Ryan Breeden here now, back by myself to wrap up this Game 2 defeat from the Pierre Trappers, who fall 6-3 against the Souris Valley Saberdogs. So the Saberdogs now just one win away from clinching their second straight Expedition League championship. Coach Jamie Habiger out there talking with his team down that right field line. You saw some frustrations brewing all night. Trappers catcher Carson Trumpold was ejected in the bottom of the fifth after a strike call that he did not agree with. And then after that game was ended with Noah McCreary being rung up on strike three, you saw some of the Trappers, Parker Lewis, Eric Lindberg, out there screaming at the home plate umpire, seeing the veins pop from their neck. Just overall frustration from the team, who loses it by 3 here in Game 2. The Saberdogs, really, again, it was just one inning that they were able to take advantage, scoring 5 runs in the fourth. But if you take that fourth inning out of the equations, the Trappers win 3-1. It's the same thing as last night. The Trappers gave up 3 runs in the first and 2 runs in the second. But from the rest of the game on, they outscored the Saberdogs. So they just have not been able to quite play that full, complete game. For the Trappers, 8 hits, 2 of them from Hunter Brown, 2 from Noah McCreary, 1 of them on that 2 RBI triple down the right field line to get the Trappers on the board in the bottom of the fifth. They scored again in the bottom of the sixth inning. But that 5-run top of the fourth, that's really the star that you can put on this entire box score of this game. And that was difference maker. Casey Kosheva gets the loss tonight. 6 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs, just 4 of them earned. 4 walks, a hit batter, and a strikeout. Jack Van Camp came in and pitched an inning on 27 pitches. Walked 2 batters, did not give up any hits, and also struck out 1. And then Nick Blessing pitched the final 2 innings, needed just 28 pitches to get through those ones. Gave up just 1 hit and struck out 1 batter as well in his first action on the mound in nearly a month's time. For the Saberdogs, 7 hits, All seven of their batters from 3 through 9 in the order were able to pick up hits. It was Luis Paleo, the leadoff man, and Hunter Delanoy, their number two hitter, that were not able to record hits in this game. But everybody either reached base safely or had an RBI in the game. The winning pitcher, Trent Duhier, 7 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 of them earned, 7 strikeouts. 13 strikeouts in total from the Saber Dogs, and it was Marco Ozuna who picked up the save in the bottom of the ninth, giving up 1 hit and striking out 3 batters. So let's take a quick pause. I will go get Coach Jamie Habiger to chat about this game 2, and then we will send it back to our regularly scheduled coverage, and we'll have game 3 awaiting tomorrow. We'll take a quick break on the Trapper Rap postgame. We'll have interview here with Coach Jamie coming up right after this break on the Trapper Rap postgame. 6-3, the final score. Saber Dogs win game 2 on River 92.7.
Long summer days means lots of time to get work done. Is your mower ready? At Darren Boyle Sales, I have new 6, 7, 8, 10, and 12-foot Bush Hog mowers on hand. Plus, I have a new Bush Hog 9-foot disc mower, a Bush Hog 12-wheel rake, and a Bush Hog 8-foot mounted blade on hand priced to sell. If you're on the market for farm equipment of any kind, give me a call at 222-0317. Like the Darren Boyle Sales Facebook page or shop online anytime at DarrenBoyleSales.com.
The BRG Media Group Sports Players Perspective Podcast.
The European basketball scene was better than the WNBA. Okay. They pay more. You get better benefits. You get to see the world.
The food is better.
The food is better.
Former Stanley County star Sam Ostarello on her career playing basketball overseas on the Players Perspective Podcast. Listen or download at your favorite station page at drgnews.com and the BRG News app. Brought to you by American Bacon Trust and Avero Orthopedics.
First Dakota is giving away new Ford F-150s to celebrate 150 years as a South Dakota bank. We owe it to the countless customers who have trusted us with their banking since 1872. And we want to say thanks by giving back. Click the banner to nominate someone you know to win a new Ford pickup, or go to firstdakota.com/150. First Dakota National Bank, member FDIC.
When you're ready to wash your car, head to Classic Car Wash on Wells and Pier. Use any of their 4 wash bays with card processing for your convenience. And features like spot-free rinse and the best vacs in town. Needing to wash your boat? Use the easy access outside bay. Keep your car looking sharp with Classic Car Wash on Wells Avenue in Pier.
Living with less pain means living at your best, but an action-packed life can wear your body down. Avera Orthopedics keeps you moving with total joint replacements for pain you don't have to live with. Find relief with the region's largest orthopedic physician team of specialized surgeons so you can keep moving forward. Avera, moving health forward. Learn more at avera.org/sf-total joint.
You can listen to any of your favorite DRG Media Group stations just about anywhere. All you need to do is download the app. Just log on to drgnews.com or download it directly from the App Store or Google Play. You'll get high-quality sound, up-to-date news, weather, and sports stories and video, podcasts, and, of course, your favorite music, notifications, and more. If you don't already have it, download it right now and see what you've been missing. The DRG News app, brought to you by the Golden Buffalo Casino.
Now you can book flights from Pier Regional Airport through United.com and American Airlines. If traveling to Denver, schedule your flight at DenverAirConnection.com. Plus, the morning flight is now at 8:20, allowing you to connect to the majority of continued flights. Avoid the crowds, enjoy free parking, and no driving when you fly from Pier Regional Airport. One-way rates as low as $59, 50-passenger jet, and a one-hour direct flight to Denver. Skip the drive. Fly from Pier Regional Airport.
Experience the Outpost Lodge, overlooking the Cow Creek Bay on Lake Oahe, just 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804. Come and enjoy fine dining in the unique atmosphere of the lodge at the Lakefront Steakhouse. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Specializing in steaks and barbecue ribs, serving locally raised cow and ranch beef.
For your next meal, head to the Outpost Lodge, 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804.
It's the easiest way to shop locally online and save. Discount deals at drgnews.com any time of the day or night with great savings on items and services. Deuce's Wild Repair, Pier Custom Detailing, River City's Public Transit, TMA, Shell's Gas Stop, Capital City Monuments, and more. Register to save your payment information or shop as a guest. Just click on Discount Deals at any station page on drgnews.com. Discount Deals from DRG Media Group.
We've got some pink here. So what? As we come back for our interview with Coach Jamie Havager after Game 2, 6-3, the final score, the Sabre Dogs win it. Coach, you know, I guess the most pressing item on the agenda from this one was just the way that the tensions kind of boiled over from both sides. Obviously, a bit of a lack of consistency from the home plate umpire. Carson Trumple, to the catcher, was ejected in the fifth inning. We have some tensions from both sides. Eric Lindberg was up in the face with the home plate umpire after the game, and he technically was ejected. And so as of right now, he would not be able to play tomorrow unless we were able to maybe change that. But so just, I guess, overall, your thoughts on what happened today?
Man, I don't know. I don't really know my thoughts. But, you know, when a catcher gets tossed, obviously he knows the zone back there, right? So he's not going to just yell. And Carson is a mellow kid, so obviously – things went wrong. You know, there wasn't very good consistency. I don't like to argue balls and strikes, but, you know, we got guys in scoring position one swing away from tying the ball game. We get called out on an inside pitch. It almost hits the guy, and, you know, he hasn't called that all day. And unfortunately, it didn't work out for us. But you know what? Trapper fans came out in numbers again, which was awesome. Appreciate all the fans coming out. And can't say enough about these guys. You know what? We're battling. We're a young squad battling these older kids. And we're not giving up. As you can see right there from the fifth inning on, again, we won the game in the last half of the game. Carson did a great job behind the dish. Casey, we talked about his control and being on top of guys, and he was. You know what? He started off on guys. He shut them down. He was popping them up. Nick came in. Jack came in, did a good job that one inning. He was just a little sore from working today, so I didn't want to, you know, throw him too much. Nick, that's his first outing in a while. He did a great job. Our pitching's looking great. Defense is doing good. We had a couple mistakes. It cost us. But otherwise, I mean, we're playing pretty dang good ball. We out-hit these guys tonight. So,
yeah. What was your message to your team after the game when you had them all corralled down that right field line?
You know what? I just said we're a young squad, and this is a learning experience. You guys are going to go back to school and have a hell of a year after facing guys like this. You know, pitchers are facing five-year All-Americans out there right now, and we're competing with them. So I just said this is making you better. Life experiences is what we've talked about all season, and let's go out and get them tomorrow. You know, we don't want to make tomorrow night our last game at Hyde.
It'll be the ace, Caleb Hay, on the mound tomorrow, right?
Yep, Caleb's on the mound. We got Brady Glenn and Colton Yanish to come in, and I'm really happy with our pitching staff right now. We have this series is working out real well for us with our starters going long into the game and throwing strikes. That's the biggest thing. You know, those walks kill us. We had a couple early in that five-run inning for them, and that hurts us. And I just can't say enough about this team. You know, we're battling nonstop, hitting the heck out of the ball. It just happens to be right at the guys. So I'm thinking tomorrow we're going to put it in play a little more than right at them.
Let's do it, Coach. Sounds good. Have you go reflect on this one and go and talk with your guys, and we'll talk before pregame for Game 3 tomorrow.
Yep, just want to thank all the fans for coming out. Keep coming out. Tomorrow's going to be another big one. We're looking for the W tomorrow night. Take this into Sunday. But thanks, Trappers fans. Thanks, Ryan. Go Trap.
Thanks, Coach, for the post-game insight. As always, I appreciate your time. And so that will about wrap things up here on the Trapper Wrap post-game. The Saberdogs win it 6-3 over your Pier Trappers, and they now need just one more win to clinch the Expedition League Championship for the second season in a row. The Trappers tomorrow, it is basically win or go home. Caleb Hay, your ace, will be on the mound, as we just mentioned, and Trappers have to win it. Otherwise, their season will come to an end tomorrow night. Game time 6:35 for that one. Our two most recent games we had today and yesterday started about 8 to 10 minutes before they were supposed to, so it could be leaking into that 6:25 to 6:30 start time. But I'll have our pregame interview as well as some stuff before first pitch, and then we'll get right into the action and see if the Trappers can pick up their first victory of the season against the Saber Dogs. They'll have to if they want to keep this season alive. So that's all for this Friday night. Ryan Breeden here from the Hyde Stadium Press Box, signing off, saying farewell until we meet again.
Trapper Wrap, a recap of tonight's Pure Trappers action. Thank you for joining us and stay with us all season long on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.